Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for coming tonight. My name is Jim Rogers. I'm the Executive Director of the Park District. I'd like to thank you very much for coming out tonight to this public meeting that the Park District is putting on to kind of discuss and get input on and make folks aware about the stormwater issue as it relates and is related to the Park District. I'm joined up here at the front of the dais by Park Board members Vince Spade, Bob Howard, and our engineer Greg Walterstor from B3 Engineering. And we'll talk a little bit, I'll talk a little bit more about the roles that they'll all play this evening. We're also joined in the audience by a number of other Park Board members. They are not directly participating in the meeting tonight. Commissioner Spade and Howard are serving as appointed subcommittee members and representatives for the Park Board as it looks to address the stormwater issue. So we're very pleased to have all of the Park Board members who are in attendance here, and also appreciate having you here as well. We will get to a portion of the meeting, and a big intention of the meeting is to be able to answer questions that you all may have relating to the issue, and so we will get to that. But we're going to just talk a little bit about the issue, want to bring everyone up to speed. Really, the idea with this meeting, and so that folks do understand, this meeting is being hosted by the Park District, and so that the issue of the stormwater can be relayed and questioned and understood from the perspective of the Park District. So there are not any representatives of the city here tonight in an official capacity to be speaking to the issue or addressing the issue. I know the city has held a number of public meetings and is continuing to do so on the issue as well. So just to clarify kind of who's up here at the front of the room for you. So what we'll do is we'll kind of do an overview of the issue, discuss the current status. And then what we're going to do is we're going to kind of review each of the individual park sites that are under consideration for use as stormwater detention sites. And what we thought we'd do from the perspective of question and answer is we'll go over each site, and then when we're done going over site A, one of our staff will have the cordless mic, and they'll bring it around, and we just raise your hand, and we'll answer questions that come up for that site. Then we'll move on to the next park site. Rather than ask you all to, sit to the re-site and hold your questions to the end. So we'll kind of go site by site. And then when we're done, or not done, but when we go through the site, then we'll have an opportunity at the end of the meeting, towards the end of the meeting, I should say, if there are questions about other issues or other things that maybe aren't site-specific. So what I'd like to start off by doing, again, is to just kind of clarify a couple things, or make clear, I should say. The Park Board has heard from many residents with flooding concerns, and many residents who live near parks, and we know many of you are in attendance here tonight, and we very much appreciate that and are glad to have you with us. The intention of tonight's meeting, in addition to taking questions and questions and providing answers to those folks, was also to hope to get some folks out who are from, let's say, the rest of the community, those who perhaps don't live by any of these sites or maybe don't flood or do have some flooding concerns but are in different parts of the community that maybe aren't even potentially addressed by the Park District. But the idea being that the Park Board was very concerned to make sure that sort of the rest of the community knew what they are contemplating and what they have been asked to consider. The concern there being that everyone in the room, or I'm assuming just about everyone in the room, is a taxpayer of Elmhurst, and whether you live by that park, or whether you flood, or whether you live by another park, we want to make sure that the entire community is aware of the issue and the request that's been made, so that when decisions are made, I should say, the rest of the community understands what went into those decisions and why they've been made and how they've been arrived at, and so that if half the year I walk my dog at that park and then the other half the year I take my dog to this park, when I come back to this park next year and maybe it's under construction or something's been changed, we've provided the opportunity for folks to be made aware of what those changes have been and what have been contemplated. I also want to clarify another thing. I've heard some folks even talking before the meeting. The Park Board has made no decisions about the use of the park sites. They are still in the deliberative process in terms of weighing out the pros and cons, understanding what's been asked by the city, working with their engineering firm. And most importantly, they wanted to hold a meeting like this before they were to make any definitive decisions, and felt that it was important to get feedback from the community and know where the community stood, both those, again, who live near the parks or are might be directly affected, and perhaps those who would not. So just want to make sure that everyone understands that the decisions have been made. And to piggyback on top of that tonight, there won't be any decisions made or votes taken tonight. The board will continue to discuss this issue in its upcoming meetings. Their next meeting is a week from tonight on October 8th, and then they'll have a following one 2 weeks after that on October 22nd. Those meetings take place at our administrative office at 375 West First Street. And we're here tonight, obviously, to be able to accommodate those of you in attendance. So, moving on then, what I'd like to do is to kind of start to give a little bit of the background on the issue. And again, for those of you who are well-informed and well-educated because you've chosen to about the issue, I apologize if I'll be a little repetitive, but we did want to make sure, as I said, that folks who maybe aren't up to speed or aware of the issue are made aware. And I also want to mention something I'm just thinking of right now. We are videotaping this meeting. I'll say just the front of the room, so if you're in the back and you ask me a question, you won't get to be on TV, and I apologize for that. But we are videotaping the front, and we'll also have the audio and it'll go up on our website so that folks will be able to see it and watch it and see the questions and answers as well afterwards. But what I thought I'd do is I'd like to start off by reading to you a letter that our president of the Board of Park Commissioners, Carolyn Bracco, drafted back in June, and that was prepared to state kind of the park board's and district's perspective on the issue. So if you just give me your attention for a moment here. And this is on our website, and I'll show that to you in a moment as well. But the kind of the precursor is that the Elmhurst Park District Board of Park Commissioners is in the process of evaluating the possible use of parks as stormwater detention sites. Although stormwater management is not a part of the Park District's mission, the Park Board takes seriously its responsibility to act in the best interest of the Elmhurst community. They also take seriously, as Park Board elected officials, their oath and commitment to maintain and protect the open space and recreational land in our community. At the June 25, 2014 Park Board meeting, the following statement was read by Elmhurst Park District Board of Park Commissioners President Carolyn Bracco. In August 2013, the City of Elmhurst approached the Elmhurst Park District Board with a very preliminary temporary stormwater detention concept. With unanimous support, the Elmhurst Park Board approved the appointment of Commissioners Bob Howard and Vince Spade to the Stormwater Subcommittee. Over nearly the past year, and now more than a year, Commissioners Howard and Spade have met regularly with their counterparts, Aldermen Jim Kennedy and Danny Blomsky, joined by respective staff members from both agencies, including City Manager Jim Grabowski and Elmhurst Park District Executive Director Jim Rogers. The Elmhurst Park Board unanimously approved hiring V3 Engineering to help speed our process and advance progress on the City of Elmhurst's desire to use parkland for temporary stormwater detention. V3 Engineering is providing expertise that was not contemplated in the Burke Engineering engagement with the City of Elmhurst, specifically identifying what is necessary to preserve recreational features and users while providing for temporary stormwater detention when needed. The Elmhurst Park District Board has not wavered in its support for the mutual efforts underway with the City of Elmhurst. We are motivated and anxious to contribute to effective, sustainable stormwater methods because we believe it is in the community's best interest and the right thing to do. Elmhurst Park District recreational lands diverted to stormwater detention are likely to be encumbered into perpetuity. You, the residents of the Elmhurst Park District, are counting on us to make wise choices and to do the right things in the right way. Please support us in our Park District mission as we continue to work with the City of Elmhurst on theirs, i.e. providing stormwater management to residents. So I just wanted to share that to kind of give some context and kind of frame the Park Board's perspective on this. As the letter indicates, they've been diligently working on this for a number of months and continue to be, and are pleased to have tonight be a part of that process. Shortly thereafter, that letter was read in June. In August, the Park Board received a formal request from the City of Elmhurst, and I'm sure many of you are aware of this, but received a formal request from the City of Elmhurst that in their prioritizing of the stormwater detention sites that they're considering, that the Park Board inform the City of their intentions concerning the potential use of York Commons Park and Golden Meadows Park for stormwater detention, and they asked that a response be provided back to them by September 30th. Now, you're all well aware, sorry to think for all of us to believe that fall is so much upon us, but today is October 1st, September 30th, obviously it was yesterday. We've made the City aware that we would not be able to be providing a response to that date, primarily in large part because of our desire to hold this meeting, and the dates being one day after the other are completely coincidental, but felt it very important to get to provide the information to the community and get feedback as well. So again, I believe that gives you kind of the overall context. I'd like to add just a bit more then about B3 Engineering. Greg Walterstorp is here from B3 Engineering. He's kind of been the park board's and district's eyes and ears as we've worked through this process. What B3 is doing is they're providing something that's called a peer review, which is a common practice in engineering, in which if there are two agencies or two companies working on an engineering project, that each kind of brings in their own engineer to make sure that the interests of each are made aware and are, I don't want to use the word protected, but just looked after. And this is not meant as a criticism of the Bourke engineering firm nor of the city's process, and the city has not taken it as such. The peer review process is a fairly standard process in engineering, and so B3 has been on board to provide that for the park district so that they're looking at the city primary desire in this process is to provide stormwater detention, completely understandable. The park board, if they're able to assist, wants to do that, but is also engaged B3 so that things can be looked at from the perspective of preserving the parks to the extent that they can be, or if athletic fields are to be redeveloped, to make sure that they're redeveloped in such a way that they're made as usable as possible for the community, whether that be athletic fields or other park amenities. And so with all of that in context then, the park board has been kind of in the background having sort of three overarching criteria that they've been using to sort of guide their deliberations and their considerations of those issues. And those are, not really in any particular order, but to try to help the city, first one, to try to help the city meet stormwater needs if possible, to ensure that the park sites, if used for detention, retain their recreational value, and three, to not adversely impact residents whose homes neighbor the parks. And so those are kind of the overarching considerations that the park board's been working with as they've worked through this process. Mr. Spatham, if you wanted to mention, there was kind of another point that you probably wanted to make.
Well, thank you, Jim. Sure. I think that's all well put. And, we're using a decision matrix. Those key criteria are all in there. I think this is better. Yes, it's on. It sounds like you can hear me in the back. I'll just be loud like I normally am. But anyway, so we're using a decision matrix, and all that criteria will be in there. And I think another dimension that we got to make sure of is that whatever solution we come up with, let's say it starts at York Commons for an example, is that it has an integrated impact for everybody else that's in alignment with York Commons all the way to Salt Creek, which is the predominant way the water flows. So we're taking a holistic approach. We're challenging the models that have been given to us. We're coming up with other ideas. B3's helping us vet through those ideas. And I think almost in most of the cases, we're coming up with some different options that will hopefully have a better impact for the city, for the residents. So I'm really excited about all that and how we're working together as a team. I just want to reassure you that we do have a very, very defined methodology, and we're looking for impact, both positive and negative here. And we're listening to you, especially for some of the negatives, that we can, engineer that out of the equation as much as we can. So,
yes, thank you, Mr. Spade. Mr. Howard, just mind if I could ask anyone who's got cell phones, if I could just ask you to put those on vibrate just so if we get any ringing, it doesn't come through the recording. That would be much appreciated. So now what we're going to do is take you through site by site. One of the things that we as a park district did a number of weeks ago was made the decision that we wanted to make sure that all of the information that the park district had gathered and had available as to this issue was made available to the public. And so we added a specific section to the park district's website that's all about stormwater. And I'm going to show that to you tonight. And also use that as our guide as we work through looking at the park site by site. Let's put one up here for a second. So this is the park district website. I'm sure all of you have been to it before, looking up events, registering for programs, nodding of the heads would be perfect. Thank you. Don't forget trick-or-treating at Safety Town, Saturday, October 11th. Our fall brochure is out. Golf at Trigger Creek, while it's still nice out, just got to get in a few commercials while we're in front of so many nice folks. So here, I'll click on stormwater information. And so we've added this entire section to the website for stormwater, and I apologize, folks, I'm trying my best not to have my back to you too much. I apologize. It's not intentional. And so what we tried to do, as I said, is we tried to literally put as much, every bit of information that has come the Park District's way as relates to this issue. And so here is kind of the home page of that part of the website. And what I just read to you from the Park Board is this information right here in current status here in the middle. And then I'll just kind of quickly go through what we have. But this timeline here, what we've done is we put information on every meeting that's been held regarding this issue. And so that would be Park Board meetings, it would be subcommittee meetings, every single meeting. And so for every meeting that's out there, we have a synopsis of the meeting. And then at the bottom, we have links to any materials that were provided at that meeting or minutes from those meetings and that kind of thing. And this goes all the way back, I think, to early 2012, if not late 2011. So if you want to become informed and you're not yet or want to see what was kind of the flow of discussions and things like that, this is all here, and all the reports are here as well. We have a frequently asked questions section regarding stormwater, kind of FAQs more about stormwater in general, not so much Elmhurst specific related, but what is a detention basin, how long would construction take, that kind of thing. So we've got some FAQs there that you might find useful as well. We also have a section here entitled Talk to Us. You can click on here, it's a link, and send an email directly to the district with questions specifically to stormwater. We also have other places on the website where you can send us questions and such, but specifically for stormwater, we've added this here. So if you leave tonight and perhaps you think of something, oh, I wish I would have asked this or I meant to ask that, you can do that there as well. And then I'm going to come back to this, but then here under reports and communications down here on the right side, we have all of the reports, all of the communications. Some of you, again, familiar with it. There are the engineering studies that FERC has done. There's some of the information that D3 has provided on behalf of the Park District. But you'll literally find all of the reports right here on the right side. And then a lot of times with websites, and we've all been on websites now, sometimes you try not to have things in multiple places and be repetitive. Well, we've gone the opposite way with this. If we have all the reports here, but so if this report here was July 28, 2014, when you go to the section on the website that talks about the meeting held on July 28, 2014, that report will be there as well. We've kind of tried to flood the website with as much information as we could and make it as available as we possibly could and as easy to find as possible. So then what I'd like to do, and then right here in the middle of on the right side here, is we have the proposed detention sites, and there are five sites under that the city has requested that the Park Board give consideration to. And what I'm going to do is, as I said, I'm going to kind of give an overview of the sites one by one, and as we after we review each site, we'll then look to take questions from you folks and answer questions as best we can. So the first site we're going to look at.
Rattle off the sites, just the whole list, real
sure.
quick.
Yeah, you got it. Sure, you got it. It's York Commons Park, Golden Meadows Park, East End Park, and then Wild Meadows Trace and Pioneer Park combined, and I'll explain that when we get to it. And then Crestview Park. So I just named six parks, but Wild Meadows Trace and Pioneer combined. So there's kind of five locations under consideration. Okay. So the first one here is York Commons, and I'm just going to get quick to a larger blow up of that. York Commons Park, again, just to give a little bit of context for those who may not be familiar, these are the railroad tracks to the north of York Commons Park. This is York Road here on the left side, and then Cayuga Avenue runs along the south side of the park. So the park's here. This is the fire station in the upper left-hand corner, and this is Smalley Pool here in the middle of the park. And so the city has requested that the Park Board consider utilizing this site to provide, if possible, two detention basins, one here at the eastern portion of the site that's approximately 16 acre feet. And for those of you, again, new to the process who are hearing, who might be hearing or would see on the website acre feet, the question is, what is an acre foot? It's one square acre, a foot deep of water. Just to give you an idea, and again, it's a little hard to picture an acre, I realize for all of us, but that's what an acre foot equates to. Thank you, Greg.
326,000 gallons.
It's a football field size. So it's a football field, a foot deep in water. And this is the clearest and most concise way to say it, but thank you, Greg. So the proposal here then is that there would be a basin constructed at the back part of the park. when existing ball diamonds that you kind of see, that you see with the tan outline of the infield, would be lowered and would sit down in the bottom of the basin. And then, the idea is, the primary plan here is that Crescent Avenue, which is north of the park and north of the tracks, has taken on considerable water during the recent floods of 2015 and 2010, and even some of the more recent storms. And so the idea here is that there would be storm drains built that would come under the railroad tracks. The water would drain into the back part of York Commons here, into this basin, and then over time would drain down and then come back to the front of the park and drain out to tie into the regular flow of the storm systems. There's also shown on the plan the potential use of the west side of the park here, and what this is called for right now is to take water from up on Meester, which is the street that runs parallel to the train tracks west of York Road, and bring some of that water into this basin as well, and then again eventually slowly drain out and tie back into the system. And as Commissioner Space said earlier, all of York Commons Park, this neighborhood, I should say, drains to the west towards Salt Creek. As I'm sure everyone who's aware of knows, everything in Southwest Elmhurst drains west towards the creek. And so that is what's being contemplated. There have been this site has had the most discussion and vetting that's taken place thus far. The city has really made it, it's along with Gold Meadows, kind of its top priority. I believe that's because of the number of homes that it could potentially assist. In addition to helping the homes here on Crescent Avenue, immediately north of the park, the idea is that this site would also help homes further west, for example, on Washington, Swain, and such, because any water that's held back at this park temporarily isn't going down the line towards those streets. And so in a very basic outline, that's the idea of what how this would serve and how it would function. Yeah, thank you. Yes, I should mention that. Thank you. And in addition, let me click down here. There's also the plans also call for Cayuga, which has a drain line currently that runs along Cayuga to the west, also to tie into this park as well, and also be served by this rear basin as well. Thank you for reminding me.
And up there.
There's two points. I want to make sure this one shows that. I'm not sure it goes from. Yeah, but the notion is that Cayuga from the east could also feed into this detention basin from this eastern tip here. Thank you. So far, anything I'm missing to kind of highlight for this site? This point? No? Okay. All right, then what we're going to do is, so that's your comments, kind of in a nutshell, and our staff is going to come around with the microphone, and we'll get to everybody as quick as we can, but just, I think there's a question over here, a couple of steps.
Hi, my name is Wade Jones, and for any of these park districts, if you're going to use a pumping station put in line, pump that water off to get it out faster than it would normally.
I'll repeat your question. Yeah, the question was: are there for any of the parks and sites, are there plans to have pumping stations? The solutions that have been designed in this space in the city are gravity fed. So the idea is that they would not have pumping stations. Again, as designed. And proposed by the city and Board of Engineering. So they're all gravity fed, so water would feed into them by gravity. And what happens is, it's no different than your bathtub. If you take your bathtub and it's a big bowl of water, you've got a small drain in the bottom, the reason why it doesn't all drain out right away is because that drain is serving as what's called a restrictor. If the drain was as big as the tub, obviously the water would all go right away. But yeah, here with these basins, you have a large basin with a small pipe going out of it that will detain the water, meaning temporarily hold it, and then by gravity would flow out.
And the other question was, with all this water going into any of these park districts, what about soil samples? Are you going to be doing soil sampling for contaminants after the water's gone?
If any of the park sites were to be used, there are a number of factors that will have to be considered that could affect playability, and certainly, soils and soil, not even, say, just safe contaminations, but even just conditions for growing and things like that are things that will have to be considered down the road if the sites are to be used. Thanks. Thank you.
So, Amanda, we're talking about gravity fed and all that stuff. So, it's going to be designed such that only a certain amount of water will go into the basin. Once the basin is essentially filled or at its capacity, then that system will be designed such that additional water will come in. I know people on the other side of the tracks around that are worried, are thinking that a bunch of water is going to come into their neighborhood and flood their neighborhood. But it's really more so the water, that the excess water on the one side of the tracks is going to go into the basin. Once at a certain level, the gravity system will stop, essentially, and that's all the water that will go into the basin, correct?
No.
That's not true.
The way that the systems are currently and designed, and let me I'm going to answer your question. I want to clarify something too. The drawings that you see here, from an engineering perspective, are about 25% through the engineering process. So they're not full engineering drawings, and they're also not, you know, just pencil sketches on a napkin. So they're not fully fleshed out, but they have obviously some detail to them. As currently designed right now, these sites do not have shutoffs, for example. However, that is an issue that the Park Board has been discussing at great length about exactly the kind of the issue slash concern you're raising is we don't, and the Park Board has said this, and we've talked about these. The Park Board is steadfast, and I think it's commitment that they're not going to take a problem from one block and move it to another. So if that means that if they were to agree to allow a certain site to be used, they would be talking about things like there's got to be shutoff valves put in, so it will only take X amount of water. Temporary or permanent? Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. As designed, I think it's fair to say that these are not temporary solutions. If the park is dug and dropped down 8 feet and has, say, a retaining wall on one side of it to hold, you know, to provide an edge to it and has large drainage and infrastructure in them, I don't believe that the park board would consider these to be temporary solutions, and nor do I think that the city views them that way either. So they are viewed as being permanent solutions.
We both are solutions.
Right, and that's a good point. That was another point. I'll get to your question, I promise. The other thing too that, and I meant to mention this early on and neglected to, but I want to make mention, that the park board has been made fully aware of, and the city is also making efforts to make sure that this message gets out, is that the use of these park sites, and it can't be more, maybe one of the most important things to be said tonight, will not solve the flooding problems. And it's very important that that be understood. This will address the problems, and for some folks, it might resolve them. But this is a piece of a solution. This is not the solution. So just want to make sure that folks, whichever park site to look at, there are other components in the city's plans that add on to these types of things to try and get closer, let's say, to solving the problem. The park board, you know, again, has been asked to be a part of the addressing the problem, but these are not full-blown solutions. You asked, I think, about fencing and then about mosquitoes. In terms of fencing, we haven't really gotten to that level of discussion yet. In terms of would there be a fence or would there be a fence, however, safety is very much paramount in the park district's consideration of any of these sites and how they would be managed, whether they would be fenced, whether they would be monitored at times when there's water in them. There are different ways that it could be addressed, but safety will certainly be a consideration that's made a part of the discussion. And then as to mosquitoes, I would say that really they could be an issue, but one of the things with these detention bases is they should only hold water for 24 to perhaps 48 hours at the most. So there will not be, there is not intended that there will be standing water in them. One practice that the Park District does undertake, we do have other areas throughout the district that do hold standing water intentionally, in low-lying areas or permanent retention areas. And we use some products to try and fend off mosquitoes. We have little, they're called dunks, they're called mosquito dunks. They're little floating biodegradable devices that you can put in waterways that repel mosquitoes. And so we would look to engage in practices like that. But the bottom line is these shouldn't hold water on are not designed to hold water on a long-term basis.
Candace Lunt, East End Park. You explained to me at one point that you would never consider East End Park for that type of building retention, dry retention, because you could never build on it again. So I would assume that these parks will never be able to be built on as well.
Just want to clarify the first part of what you said. The park board never said they would never allow any of these. I just to clarify, I think the comment that I made, not that they would never allow it to be built. What I said was, if these, and it goes back to the question of are these permanent or temporary, if these are built in the parks, and even as Commissioner Bracco's letter said, the changes to the parks will be there in perpetuity. And what I mean by that is, so let's use this basin in the front of the park as an example. If that basin is built and intended to serve as stormwater, it would seem very unlikely that if in 50 years the community desired to have a full-blown aquatic center with lazy rivers and lots of drop slides and things, it would seem unlikely that the park board would, at that point in time, would be able to consider moving towards the front of the park. And so they will be, for the most part, changes in perpetuity to the sites.
Yeah, I just have two clarifying questions. One is, and I have a picture of this as well, and it must be a different version. And so it's very hard, the engineers don't date them, so it's hard to know what's the most current one. Some are dated on the bottom, some are not. Like, I depend on what website I go to. The bypass, is that in lieu of the blue one that was on the original plan that goes all the way across? Currently, right now, there's like a small pipe that goes down to the storm sewer that's 36 inches, and now this one's going to be 48 inches, so it's going to take quite a bit more water underground, and then there's another line that brings the water to the overland. And then, just to clarify, is part of the plan still, or is it no longer in existence, bringing water from Cayuga right at about the tip of Presage? Is that going in there as well? I'm just trying to get clarity on those two pieces. Is the blue one that's now going diagonal across gone? And then we have a 42, like a 10 or 12 inch bigger pipe in place of it? Or is it that one plus the 42 plus what goes in?
Sure. That's a great question. The existing, if this were to be built, the existing pipes in the park, these would take the place of those. Those would come out. Exactly, because bottom line is they'd be dug up because you'd be dropping the elevation of the park. So these pipes would take the place of that. And they'd be lower. But we asked the exact same question of our engineer, and about you're taking two pipes now. And in fact, if you bear with me for one second, I want to grab that drawing and have you all have a chance to see it. So bear with me one second here, if you would, please. Did you have that there? The current conditions at York Commons, and this is what you're referring to, and this is good information too for those of you who even live in that neighborhood may not be aware. Currently, Crescent, which is up to the top here, north of these tracks, drains through these two storm lines, through the park, over to York Road. So the general route being proposed now is not much different. But yes, the idea is that those would come out and would be replaced by the other one. And now I want to jump back to this. And so we asked our engineer the same thing. We said, well, wait, we're going from 2 to 1. And he said, yes. And the reason why you're going from 2 to 1 is because in low rains, the water would not come in here. It would go through this bypass pipe, just as it goes through the pipes now, and come out in just kind of your regular garden variety rains. No chuckles. And then when the rain water levels were higher, it would come into to the park. And so the idea being that you don't need two pipes to take it out, because you have one pipe to take it out and one detention basin to hold the rest of it that currently is going into the system and back up. So that's the idea between going from 2 to 1, and yes, the existing would come out.
And
you're right about the versions. There is a newer version than this, and I apologize, that does show that at the eastern end. Yes, yes. Yes, and those are all the types of pieces and options we're looking at.
One of the criteria you said was that you didn't want a plan that would negatively impact current residents. And you've got a half pipe. It's my understanding you're going to take a tree line, bushes, and shrubs along 8 homes, tear them out, put a half pipe cement drain so we can all look at that, and then if there is a heavy rain, we're going to have water coming right in our backyard. How possibly can you pit one resident against another, not to mention a park? It would be much less a park and much more just a drain field.
Sure. Well, the way I would respond to that is, first of all, the park district and the park board are not proposing any of what you suggested. The city of Elmhurst for a detention solution, or a stormwater solution. Let me just finish. And so, as the park board considers their request and the first part of what you stated, one of the criteria they're using to evaluate whether or not they would permit this to be done in the park is if it will have a negative impact on the homes. And that goes back to the fact that that's why we're here tonight, and the park board's here tonight. They have not made decisions, and they will use criteria like, is it going to negatively impact neighbors, to help make those decisions. So it's proposed by the city to do that. The park board has not said yes to it. They're here tonight to garner your feedback on things like that.
More importantly, we've got 3 other options that don't include that in them. Again, we're going to look at all the pluses and minuses to it to make a decision.
So right.
We're hearing it.
Right.
Okay, I understand holding the water there, and I understand then taking it out to Salt Creek. How does it get there? Are the pipes, the sewers, coming into this or any other park of sufficient size that they're not going to back up and cause flooding? What's the point of storing it here if we can't get it here in time?
Okay. And again, some of these I'm going to answer to the best that I can, but some of them are going to go beyond the park district's knowledge and information of what the city is proposing with their engineers. But the idea would be in this particular site that this pipe would come from Crescent and would be sized to bring the water into here. There'd be another pipe at the end of this basin that would bring it from the eastern part of Crescent. And then that there would be a pipe from Cayuga that would also bring it up. Those would be sized appropriately to get the water into the park. And I think that I think we can feel, if this were to be done, if we can feel confident in that, because they're being designed for those major events. If you're asking, well, we already know the answer. The question, when I had the other one up there with the blue, is are those big enough to move the water off of Crescent Avenue? The answer is no. And that's why these changes are being looked at.
I think part of that, though, Jim, is the present pipes need to grab. Take a vehicle like this, get them off the stand. The present pipes for,
right.
I mean, these pipes right now, what's the bottleneck? It's really not the size of these pipes. They have nowhere to go over here. It backs everything up. That's really what's happening. If we didn't have backup here, these pipes would flow all the way through. And that's even more supported when you look at the new design, but this pipe is even smaller than the 2 existing pipes. So we've got to store water because there's nowhere for it to go, unless you increase the pump house sizing and the whole truck sewer going all the way to Salt Creek. And those are options. They're very expensive options. So we're looking at all these different things, trying to figure out what's the most cost-effective balance with the least negative impact possible. So hopefully that helped a little bit.
Yes.
Hi, I have a question. This may be more directed to the V3 engineering expert. Given what many of my neighbors understand on Cayuga with the York Commons design, the whole premise of this is it's gravity fed, right? My question to you, V3 engineering, is as part of your doing a peer review, are you proposing, are you at least floating the idea back to FERC of what if gravity doesn't work the way it should downstream? You need some mechanism to stop the wrath of Mother Nature so it doesn't flood your commons, create the benefit for one side and then cause problems for the other. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, we've definitely had various conversations regarding gravity system, the overflow routes, and as been mentioned already, shut off valves and other ways to control that and keep that elevation from rising.
Well, I can give one, for example, one of the things that's been talked about is that, where water comes in from Crescent, that there would be a, what's the term we're using, right?
They're currently proposing a weir, and the weir would control how much water could come into the basin. And so we've looked at the elevation of the weir, and essentially Burke has designed that to set the elevation at the location for how much flow can go downstream. Now, the pipes downstream can only carry, according to Burke, a five-year storm event right now. So they've then set that elevation accordingly for their weir design to say, at that elevation, now we'll start taking water. So we've looked at that. We've analyzed that with them. We've asked questions about that. And we've looked at different alternatives for how do you take water in, how do you control the water, how do you provide an overflow route for emergency case in excess of what the design storm is to make sure that it doesn't continue to rise in that area and safely can move into a different direction.
I'm Bob Stewart and I live on Cayuga. And I've asked several times, has anybody looked at the park in terms of the vibration that's absorbed by the park currently from the railroad track, which vibrates all of our houses along Cayuga. And when you dig a big hole there, there's less to absorb that vibration. And what structural integrity will that affect on the railroad bed? And all we get is, well, we'll look into that later. And you talk about hurting our home values and everything. The discussion of this, if it never happens, has already destroyed our home values because everybody is sure that the city's going to ram this through and we're going to wind up with flooded backyards because it will not hold as much as the water comes down. Thanks.
Thank you. I think we have one more thing I want to thank you for my right. We'll come back in the corner once.
You may have addressed it, but I didn't hear the question. It was stated over here when the gentleman from V3 was answering. But you've said in a normal rain, it'll go through one pipe. In a heavy rain, it'll go through the other, right? Is that an automatic thing? Is there a shutoff? Is that manually controlled? I mean, we heard that about, you know, the quarry, too, and somebody has to actually open them. So I'm just curious if that's a manual or if that's an automatic kind of thing.
Sure.
And maybe that's what you were addressing. I just didn't hear.
That's fine. I'll address that, and I'll start just for community information's sake about the quarry. There is, unfortunately, a good deal of misinformation about how the quarry works. The quarry does not have to be manually turned on or mechanically turned on by anyone. What happens over at the quarry is that the creek level rises to a certain amount, and it spills over a levee or a weir, and it drops down a shaft and goes into the quarry. That happens automatically. I mean, it's just the water rises up and it spills over. Like if you're at the edge of your bathtub, it's spilling over. If you plug the drain, it fills up and spills over. That happens automatically. So we've all heard in town that there's a big rain and they didn't turn on the quarry. That doesn't have to happen. It happens automatically, and there's no pipe to get blocked. There's nothing like that. It happens automatically. That system also allows for the county to let it spill sooner by choice and by mechanically making it happen faster. If the county finds out there's a huge rain coming, they can allow it to happen sooner. But it will always happen without human intervention or any touching of any devices or anything else. Just everybody's aware of that. Different issue, but just worth clarifying. Here in the park, or the proposal, I should say, the idea is that, as regards to the two pipes, is that what's called this bypass pipe here is in the five-year range, so your light range, the water would go through that pipe and into the system just as it does in any pipe in town in just a regular rain. Then when the rains get higher and heavier, instead of this, it would stop coming through this pipe because the pipe would be full, basically, and then it would come into the park basin. And again, both of those without any human intervention.
I share a lot of these reports, actually, with a guy who's an environmental professor, who used to be a consultant. I've shared a lot of these reports with an environmental professor who used to be a consultant who helped develop these storage systems for cities. He agrees with you in the sense that a lot of the injury controls, while will do a lot for the city, they are not a silver bullet in the sense that they will solve issues. So beyond the engineering controls that you proposed, looking at the city more from a landscape or environmental standpoint, what other proposals or fixes are being addressed to the next one?
Sure. There are a number of other alternatives, both additional alternatives and also further steps that the city has worked on with Burke Engineering. We have on our website all of the Burke reports that list all of those. I'm not going to go into all of them tonight, but please, if you're interested, take the time and go there, or call me or email me. I'll direct you exactly where it is. But as Commissioner Space said earlier, taking, for example, your comments, this is, you know, about a mile from Salt Creek. There are other proposed actions that the city can take between here and the creek to increase things. Some of them are upsizing, updating pumping stations. Some of them are putting in new sewers in certain parts of the street. So there are other pieces and components in addition to what's proposed. We have to kind of show you where that is, but I'm not going to go in, you know, one by one tonight.
Those are all engineering controls.
Right.
I'm talking along the lines of, and the big issue is,
those are other various engineering controls. The big issue is not so much getting the water to where it needs to go, whether it's a detention center in the saltwater creek, or whatever those, or even the quarry. The hurdle that we need to address is getting the water into the ground as quickly as possible, not necessarily directing it in various ways. The detention centers are great. They are. But is the city looking, I guess, let me clarify my question more clearly. Is the city looking into suggestions such as, like, new developments, anything with regards to using more porous streets, anytime a street needs to be resurfaced, or green tops for any new apartment building or parking deck or anything along those lines, or anytime a new pop house is built that they need to address any sort of stormwater that would come off of their roofs. But these are things that would take years to take effect. But my question is the city investigating any of these non-engineering?
I will answer that to an extent, in that the city has done a number of things in recent months to examine its building codes, to examine its ordinances in terms of what it allows for building, and has made efforts, and to some extent, due to the park board's urging, that the park board has said, if the park board were to allow some of these things to be done in the parks, they want some assurances kind of as to what you're getting at, that the problem just won't continue to be increased and manifested going forward. So the city has made some changes in some of their ordinances. We do have some of that information on our website as well, but things like impervious surface that can be built on a lot, things like tie-ins of downspouts, and versus spilling onto the surface level. So there have been some changes made. Yes.
One thing I just wanted to clarify, when we talk about flooding in Elmhurst, there's multiple types of flooding. I think some of this gets to this question. What the city came to us about first was overland flooding. What they mean by that, when it rains so hard, the storm sewer pipes can't carry the water out fast enough, so they surcharge. And then water starts flowing overland from houses that are up higher to the ones that are lower. And when you look at the reports, they've identified several key areas in the community that are where this giant puddling occurs. So, for example, Crescent Street is one of them. Washington Street, Valenti Swain are two other major ones. Pine Street up north, you know, down by Bryan School and Jackson School. Those are the major sites that we're looking at right now. So the solutions to fixing those aren't necessarily the community-wide stormwater sewers that are way undersized for those events. We're trying to look for detention. And then they take a step further and say, all right, it's the 50, 100-year storm events that we want to contain. It's not the 5, 10, 15, 20-year storm events that we really want to put into these detentions. And this is how we started this discussion off, and it's important to have those guidelines kind of understood. That they come and go in terms of what level of storm protection we will potentially provide, depending on what the benefits are and maybe what some of the negative impacts are. If there aren't any negative impacts, we're going to do the best we can for the city. We know we're going to come to the table and hopefully help. But I think it's important. So for Crescent Street, when the water gets up high enough, there'll be an overflow pipe on one area that allows it to go to another area, and only when it's that high. That's the kind of thing you got to get in your mind. So only that high level water would come in. We don't want any of this lower level water because we just use the detention up, and then it would be filled and we'd have nowhere to go. So sometimes you got to think about the concepts a little bit and see how they work through the total solution here. So, a quick thought.
For the gentleman who asked that question, that was a great question, and I wish more people expressed it how you expressed it, because you got to keep in mind this is their ask to us. You know, they come to us, help us, okay? But about permeable streets, I even at one point suggested, why don't we lower all the streets? And I think they all laughed at me like, well, that's pretty silly, but every little bit helps. And the idea of a long-term investment, we can't really answer that. You have to go to the city for that. But if more people go to the city and say we need something long-term that's sustainable, that's what we need. In a nutshell, what we've said to the city, as I think Commissioner Spade said, is if you want downstream relief from us, you have to have some upstream reform. I mean, if I could nutshell it, that's it. There has to be upstream reform, whether it's building, floor area ratio, you know, and the whole realm of things about building larger homes on postage stamp size lots, that is something that is the city's business. We have no jurisdiction over that. So all we can do is try and be a good intergovernmental partner here and say, okay, they're asking us to do something, but we at our meetings, we do take that seriously, the upstream reform. And so, you know, but at the end of the day, that's their jurisdiction. You have to go to the city for that. We're just doing the best we can to, you know, keeping in mind that the primary mission is parks, recreation, our user groups. And we can't lose our user groups in favor of retention. That's a trade-off we're not going to do.
Are we going to move on to some of the other parks?
We've been at this
park for a long time.
Yeah, we will move. We'll just do a couple more questions.
Thank you. I have one last question. Commissioner Spade kind of alluded to it a little bit. My question was, in what event, I know you have the bypass route there, and you kind of made mention of the five-year storm event. At what event level, 10, 15, 20, 50, 100-year storm level, would you consider using the retention area? What guidelines, if any, do you have in place to kind of lend to being a friend to the city, but also to retain the integrity of the park as a, you know, user-friendly place? And then also, I had one other question as a pool member. Smalley Pool is grossly undersized, and we have a pool pass that my kids use it all the time. We live there. Will that, in lieu of this, I mean, you could expand Molly Pool. But if you choose this option, that it would probably be permanent, so there would be no potential expansion for Molly, and your park district is kind of at capacity with the amount of pool space at East End and Molly Pool. You know, you have new families moving into the area, and where would they go? Because I would think they would choose another area.
Can you address the first part of that? Sure. Again, we're going through a matrix here when we look at the evaluation. We've got an ask from the city. You know, they went, at this point, originally it was 36 acre feet. Now I think we're down to 23 with the two detentions. So we have variations that are just the east detention, just the west, and a combination. And then we're looking at where do you turn that water on to come into the detention and where do you turn it off to solve overland flooding. And if we can solve a little bit more flooding downstream, that's general flooding, can we do that without negatively impacting the playability of the parks? So we haven't decided really yet as an entity, but we definitely have your thoughts exactly in mind, and then we're trying to weigh it all. You know, frankly, I don't, if it was completely up to me and there weren't flooding issues in this town, I wouldn't want to do anything with this park. We all love the parks. But, you know, we have a severe flooding issue, and everybody needs to be part of the solution as much as they can. We just want to be able to look back 5 or 10 years from now and say, that was the right thing to do. And we're not sure the original ask by the city is completely the right thing to do at all. But hopefully this discovery will get us there, especially with the D3 site. So I hope that answered your question. We don't know yet, but it's really to solve this overland flooding issue. And then also, let's not put water over on your street. So we've got all that in the matrix.
Absolutely. And then as regards to the pools, and I'm glad you alluded to the fact that there are two outdoor swimming pools in Elmwood. I will respectfully disagree with your assertion that they're overcrowded. They're crowded, particularly on very hot days, but we're very pleased that we have the two pools available. For a community of 44,000, to have the amount of pool space that we have is very strong, kind of on a per capita basis. And yes, there are new families coming into town all the time, and we recognize that, but right now, in terms of the overall demographics and population, we're not seeing a whole lot of change. So I tell you right now, we feel pretty comfortable with the capacity that we're able to provide. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to do two more?
One here and
okay.
In the back.
Okay. We're gonna move on. Thank you.
Good evening. Quick question. So we have the pipeline into the detention area, right?
Yes.
From the north side. Okay. You mentioned if the diverted pipe is full, water will flow into the detention. Will that also continue to flow through the pipe which is full already? You mean going both ways?
I mean, basically, sorry, go ahead.
And second of all, I will just west of York, and my concern is all of that water would continue to flow upstream.
Sure, west, yes. Yes, the way that this would work, and I know you can't quite see this, but even on the drawing here, so the water would come through this pipe, in the low rains, it would go through this bypass pipe. When the amount of water in the rain got too much, it would then spill this way into the basin. So it would split, right? But so will it continue to go there as much as it can? But really, it'll be coming into the basin because that pipe will be basically backed up because as it goes down the system, it won't have much of anywhere to go. So the idea is to go through the bypass and until it can to an extent, and then it'll spill into the basin.
It can only come into the basin if there's enough height on Crescent Street to drive it into the basin. So it's all height driven. Which is what you want. We only want the high water compressor to go into that pipe.
And
the rest will go through the pipe if there's somewhere for it to go on the west end.
And if we've got folks in Crescent here too, or any of you who live by the parks, just so that it doesn't kind of get lost in the thinking here, and I know you do, but I'm just going to say it out loud, don't forget that the existing pipes in the street, you know, are there, do serve a purpose, do have a certain amount of capacity, as do the curbs, as do the streets. So, and you all know this, you live it. If your street has 3 inches of water, from curb to curb, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And what the park board doesn't want to do is they don't want to take that water from Crescent and put it in the park. There's no need to do that. It ought to be where it's designed to be, and then when it gets to be too much, then it could move on. To your second question about being west of York Street, the way I guess I would answer that would be to say that if you're here or you're downstream, either of these will help you in that it will detain water from coming down the street. So if there's a big rain in an hour and two and three and four after that rain, this would fill up with water. And so that water will not be coming down the street. Now, eventually, as pressure is relieved downstream, then this water would come out and it would go through, again, just a regular storm pipe and feed back into the system and make its way. But the idea is to detain it, meaning to hold it back temporarily until there's capacity in the line downstream so that it can flow. We have two more and then we're going to move on.
Hi, I happen to live on the corner of Crescent and Poplar, and A, I really appreciate the work you're putting into this and all that, but my question is, what is the decision-making process? Is there a vote by Elmhurst Systems, or are you people just going to make that decision? And B, from what you said, and I just want to clarify that, is that the city has come to you, so it's really the city who has hired the engineer and not the park district? And three, what is the time frame, if any, on these possible solutions? Actually, I have another question. Four, would you propose more than one detention area? Or are we looking at just one?
Okay. I'll do my best to.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to try to get those as best I can. In terms of a vote, there is not a plan. The city doesn't have a plan to the best of my knowledge. And the park board does not have a plan, for example, to go out to referendum to make these decisions. You elect seven park board members at large, so, and that's important in this particular case, where they're not elected by regions of the community as opposed to aldermen. There are twice as many aldermen. Seven park board members elected at large, and they are elected, each one of them, to represent the entire community. So you would like them to represent your wishes and make decisions as regards to the park district on your behalf. So those decisions would be made by this body. In terms of multiple sites, there are multiple parks being talked about. We're going to get to some of the other parks. And then for a park like this, for your comments, you can see where there are two basins proposed for this park. So, and that kind of ties into, and those designs came from an engineer that the city hired, Burke Engineering, came up with these designs. We hired an engineering basically to review these designs, but the designs that you see tonight in front of you are designs that were put together by the city's engineer. And I think I got maybe three of them. Did I miss? Well, time frame. Was your time frame about a decision or about construction? You're going to say both. I knew. Ask and answer. From the time frame of a decision, the park board understands that the city desires a response back, so they're going to be as expeditious as they can. They've talked about at least on your commons and potentially gold medals, trying to potentially reach a decision by the end of this month. And then in terms of construction, the city has indicated it's their desire on say these two sites to try to look to be in construction next year in 2015. Okay, last one on your comments.
Hi, my name is Tracy Fleischer. And I guess I'd like to thank you on behalf of myself and the several hundred other Rough Commons residents at Flood for everything that you have done during the last year. Obviously, there's a lot of questions and concerns over what may happen if these detention funds happen. Those of us who would know what it's like. I don't want to say day to day, but there's some of us who are still putting our houses back together. I've been to meeting after meeting with you guys for me day before. My first floor floods, it's still not put back together. My neighbors have had 9.5 feet of water in the basement. I know some of you have concerns you're worried about, trees being knocked down and mosquitoes in your backyard. We're worried about our kids' safety and the integrity of our homes. And, again, I can't thank you enough for everything that you've done, for continuing the dialogue. And, again, we know that you have concerns. We understand that, that this is a big deal. And we'd like to just thank you for everything that you've done and for continuing to work on this. I know you put thousands of hours into it, and I know it's not easy to stand up there and then be faced with question after question after question, and I know the city has put this on you. Ideally, the city would come in and change all the sewers and the problem would be solved. Obviously, that's not going to happen. The water's not going anywhere. The water's going to come. It's not going to just magically go away. It's unfortunate that it's been put on you, but thank you for everything that you've done trying to help.
Thank you. And then we have the park board. Thank you.
Hi, my
Next, we're going to move to Golden Meadows. Okay, the current proposal for Gold Meadows is to provide 14 acre-feet of flood storage in the eastern portion of the park where the soccer field is currently. This would provide relief to the homes on Pine Street and some of the neighboring streets around there. So those homes lie to the west of Golden Meadows. And the concept put forth by the park engineers, they've also thrown in some the possibility of expanding the parking here in the park. The elevation of the park would drop, I believe, again, it's about 8 feet, and we put the soccer field down at the bottom of that basin. The city originally also came to the partnership with a concept that showed using the entire park, also the park that extends to the west with the garden plot area. And so everyone's aware, the park board is still kind of kicking around, you know, both path, which side, what side. I'll address one thing because there may be some folks here who would want to ask about it. We've been asked, understandably, by folks who have garden plots or friends who have garden plots, will the garden plots go away? Will we still have garden plots in Elmhurst? I will commit to you as the executive director of the park district, and I believe I have the park board backing on this, that if the decision is made to utilize the western portion of Golden Meadows to some capacity and the garden plots can no longer be there, they will be relocated. We will not have garden plots. Now, I feel like that's a double negative. We will have garden plots. A couple of English teachers out there in the room, but we will have garden plots. The locations would undoubtedly shift. But we would make that a part of any plans that came about that utilized the west part of it. So can't promise you that they'll stay at Golden Meadows if this park is selected to be used as a site, but I can assure you that we will have garden plots going forward. We recognize the value of those, and we know that for a number of the folks who have garden plots with us, that may be the only kind of direct connection that they have to the park. So they're not in recreation programs, or they're not out dog walking, or members of Courts Plus and that kind of thing. So we will retain them. So I think that's about it in a nutshell for kind of an overview of Golden Meadows, and we'd be happy to answer questions. Okay, we've got a few hands up.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to either ask you or B3 to explain. It's been mentioned a lot about conveyance to Salt Creek and the limitations of that. Yes, sewers obviously play a part in that, but I was hoping that you guys could, while we have a captive audience, speak to the limitations of conveying so much water too quickly to Salt Creek itself, so everybody understands that even if we had 30-foot diameter sewers here, there's a limitation on how much can go into Salt Creek at any one time due to DuPage County regulations. So that is a point I just wanted to make sure everybody understood, that even if we had, you know, they call it in the city of Chicago deep tunnel sewers here in the city of Elmhurst, Salt Creek limits on how much water can go in DuPage County limits how much water can go into Salt Creek at any one time, and therefore, you know, to prevent other communities downstream from flooding.
No, thank you. I was just going to, just for those of you who don't know, this is Alderman Michael Bram. Obviously, yes.
He's a citizen at this point.
I don't know that there's much we can add to that. I think you've heard that, and that's a statement we thank you. We'll come right back to you on the record.
Yes. Yeah, I think the Park District has a huge urge here, and I feel very sad that us, the city of Elmhurst, has asked you to do this, because we're talking about the watershed of Salt Creek. That's the upstream, you said in the nutshell. We got to fix the upstream piece, and I don't want to quote you how you said it, but that was perfect. Well, the upstream of Salt Creek, or the total is 100, and I written down, did quick research before it came to me, 150 square miles. In 1996, there were 4% of the watershed was wetlands. today, we're at 2.8, I believe, what someone said roughly. That's 1,152 acres that have disappeared in just wetlands. Those are the tensions, storage, that used to be here for Salt Creek. And the alderman was mentioning we can only put so much in. Well, the wetlands are a natural thing that DuPage County can't regulate one way or the other, other than let's not destroy our wetlands. So if you look at that number, 1,152 acres of wetlands gone, that's 144 acres a year, 12 acres a month. The city's asked you guys for 54 acre feet. If I take all your five projects and add them up on the website, I come up with roughly 54 acres of water, acre feet, you know, 1 foot deep. And so as we talk about this, each one of these projects, you know, each individual detention area has a benefit so that we don't get 9 feet, or maybe the 9 feet goes to 6 feet in our basement, or whatever your, wherever you're at is supposed to reduce that. Well, if we each had the berms on Salt Creek, it's like 1,000.
Sir?
Yeah.
I don't mean any disrespect.
No.
But we're on Golden Meadows now.
And yeah.
If Golden Meadows runs east, has nothing to do with Salt Creek.
Okay, well, I'll be quiet then. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I mean, we have five sites to go to, and we're on Golden Meadows.
That was a general question for the whole, all sites.
Right, and that's a question really for the city, not for us.
I'm sorry I interrupted the meeting.
No. Your previous question was great, and your comments are great.
Let's move on.
But they should go to the city, not us.
Well, I had a question there, but since you interrupted me, I'll stop.
I think one quick follow-up to what the alderman mentioned, and I apologize for this, but, you know, one thing you got to understand, you can't put any more water to Salt Creek than what goes there today. That's the limit. So if you do take more water from anywhere, we got to find a place to store it. And there's places to store it along Salt Creek. There's a reservoir, there's a quarry, there's things, and we're looking at all of that. So please, you probably said this a lot better.
Touch on both the last two comments. We do have restrictions, local, state, and federal restrictions on what can go to Salt Creek. And those restrictions are, I would say, limiting what can get put into Salt Creek. But that being said, the storage that can happen along Salt Creek and in the upper areas, which is being proposed, is ultimately what's going to have to help the local flooding problem to address some of these flooding issues. And I think that actually is both of the comments that were just raised.
And then the last one, you may not know it, is a dividing line across Elmer's, Ben York Street, that if you're to the west, it goes to Salt Creek. If you're to the east, it goes to Addison Creek. And Golden Meadows is Addison Creek.
Yep. I'll try to get my question on the website. Thank you very much.
Move on.
Once again, mostly just comments, but first of all, thank you again for holding this meeting and considering these projects. And we know the city is the main person, main entity responsible for this, and you guys are at least willing to entertain the thought of helping. I appreciate that. Another thing that's just come up the last few times is that we can't even dump water to the quarry. I live by Golden Meadows, so I'm going to talk about it. But by law, we can't put the quarry is a huge hole. We can't even put water into the quarry because that's owned by the county. There's laws about putting water into Salt Creek and the quarry. We can't do it. So we have to have alternates like this. The Golden Meadows, which would help our neighborhood, seems like a great use of an underutilized park. The parking there is terrible right now. This would be, looks like, vastly improved parking, a vastly improved soccer field, a vastly improved park all the way around. So as far as I'm concerned, it would be a park that would not just serve for the purposes of flood mitigation, helping people with flooding issues, but would help all the citizens of Elmhurst with a better facility. So I would encourage you to strongly consider doing this project because it looks like a very great, very good project to help the entire community. Thank you.
Hi, just really quick, I think we got a little bit better rundown on the plan for the York Commons site. So just real quick with the pipes and where they're going to come in, where they're going to drain out for the Golden Meadows.
You're right, the guy who went over this didn't do that, and I apologize, I'll talk to him after the meeting. As soon as you started to say that, I thought, yeah, you're right. Okay, so the idea would be, let me just zoom out one more question. Just to give you your bearings, those of you who may not know, this parking lot is at the north end of Gold Meadows, and these are the railroad tracks at the south end. Pine Street is over here to the west. And so the idea would be that there would be pipes put in basically from Pine Street that would come along First Street, so go from west to east, and they would come into this southwest corner of Golden Meadows, you know, fill this up to a certain point under certain conditions, and then they would exit to the east here and then go over, I believe, toward Addison Creek, but also there are some other larger detention basins between some of the highways, 290 and 294 and such. But that's kind of the flow route, would be from the southwest corner into the basin and then out to the east. And I apologize for not having mentioned that before. I didn't forget that.
How many acres?
This site, as proposed, is 14 acre-feet.
So I just have a question. Where is Addison Creek? In what town?
Yeah, it's kind of North Lake. It's east of the highways.
East of Mannheim, you
might say. Yeah, east of Mannheim. Yeah. Yes, other side of the highways. Yes, not in Elm. Other side of the highways. It's not, I'm kidding. By us, it's not in Addison, but it's in Addison, east of us.
As someone who has a garden plot in Golden Meadows, this summer, when we got 7 inches of rain in June and 7 inches of rain in August, there's already a river that runs through the garden plot, and it took half my plants 3 plots down. So, and as a biologist, there is an inherent, those plots have been there a long time, an inherent fungal infection in the soil, and those plots need to be shut down for that fungal infection to work its way out of the soil. It would behoove the park district to move the garden plots. Now, I know there are people who have been there for 40 years who will be angry with me for saying that, but those garden plots need to move. They are infected, and you can't grow things there. And this year, my garden plot died because it was too wet. So, thank you for suggesting.
Sure.
So, I'd like to ask about the inflow and the outflow in this condition and where the overland flow route is going to be for this. If we're going to store a 100-year flood, where's the overland flow for this and the overspill for this, because that's one of the key things that was missed on the prior work comments before they added it in. So I'd like to know where it's going to go here.
These drawings from Burke are at what has been described as the 5% as opposed to the 25%. They do not show an overland flow as of yet, and I believe, again, I can speak for the park board, that the park board would not be in a position to approve these until the plans were further advanced to be able to see things like that. So it's not shown yet, so I can't speak to that.
One thing you talked about East End Park. Is there a plan right now on the table for East End, which is north of this location, for flood retention?
Yes, and that's nice.
So we'll get to it. But they're not interconnected then, in terms.
Great question. There is no direct connection between this. Basically, this is Pine Street, and East End is Geneva, North Geneva. And we'll get to that next.
Hi, how you doing? Question. You talked about the Pine Street coming into this. What about the corner of Richard and East? Is this going to help alleviate that corner flooding?
I wish I had the whole map in front of me, but that's where is that in relation to Pine? Just give me the.
It's right by Golden Meadows Park. So if you look at. So Hampshire, I think, borders this park, and then it goes to Richard, and then you have East, and that corner area, that becomes a huge flood right there.
It's north of the garden plots.
It's north of the garden plots. Our engineer is saying yes, and this particular shot doesn't show the piping all the way through, but our engineer is saying yeah. It seems like it's going to help everything that flows south towards First Street.
Yeah, I have a garden plot too. I like my impacted garden plot where it is.
Well, I was going to say to all the water, I'm going to get potatoes. Tomatoes, maybe not potatoes, maybe. Yes.
My property butts up to the
garden lots like Adams does, and there is currently flooding from yes. the actual pond area my way. I have a stormwater sewer in my backyard. Is the park district looking at any give and take from the city to correct some of those things? Because right now I'm getting flooding because of the park district. That's not why I'm here. But I would think that any type of flooding the park district currently is experiencing should also be looked at, not just what the city is asking you to look at, any current flooding caused because of the park district flooding onto private property.
Sure. And as we as these plans would be further developed, we would try to look at all of the impacts around the parks. I'm gonna say yes to that, but I'm gonna clarify something. I promise I won't get on my soapbox too much, but I would just like to clarify. There are different, the park district is in a unique position. We maintain over 460 acres of park property, or open space, I should say, throughout Elmhurst. And I could name for you 10 sites in Elmhurst where the park district, floods homes around it. And I could name 10 sites in the community where your homes flood the park. And you just got to let that sink in for a minute, because you do kind of laugh. And so what I always tell people, I try to remind people too that we're not flooding the neighbors and the neighbors aren't flooding us. It's the rain that's coming down. And all that it has to do with is who's high and who's low. We were talking to a gentleman was speaking earlier here about concerns about a low point that the park district has that served as a de facto detention basin right now, and the concern that when that fills up and rises and then moves out, say, towards homes or into yards or even into homes, that the park district is flooding those homes. It's not. It's a detention basin that's completely filled up and the water has nowhere to go. The good news is all the water that was there to start with was there and wasn't flooding the homes. So in that case, the water's not going up and into the homes. It's going where it's going to go. So it's going to go from, and then we have other parks where we're the high spot, kind of a little bit to what you're alluding to. Park on the south end of town, this comes up frequently, where neighbors will call us and say, "You're flooding my yard." But the park is down the block and it's 10 foot higher in elevation, so the water rains in the park, goes down the street, down the 10 foot elevation, and ends up in this yard that's at a low point a block away. So, and I'm not trying to be facetious or disrespectful, but I just do like to inject a little bit of that, just that reality check for all of us, that it's all about topography. Whether you're low and whether you're high. And I had a conversation with Commissioner Spade before the meeting started, and we were kind of joking, but it's a groaning joke. It's not really funny. When we were all kids, when we talked about buying a home, the advice our parents gave us were, make sure you get a home inspection, and it's everything is about location. But they meant a good neighborhood, good schools, not in a busy street. Well, we're all going to have, in our mindset, I know I am for my kids, I'm going to add for my kids, check the topography before you buy a house. I mean, and I don't mean just in Elmhurst. I mean in San Diego or Wyoming or New Jersey, wherever. Who thought that would be something that we need to consider? But I think it's now becoming a consideration for everyone to have that in mind when you look at these things.
Did you have one other follow-up question? What other communities have partnerships like this with park districts that you have talked to see what's the unexpected, what are the things that they thought they were going to get, and what ended up being the reality? Is there other places in the suburbs that have this type of 8-foot drops with concrete barriers? Have you talked to them? What concerns have they brought up that you haven't considered?
We've talked to Nova Basin. We've talked to the Downers Grove Park District. We've talked to the Glenview Park District. In the form of that's on the tip of my tongue, not taking this time. But they have provided a lot of good information about things they might do different, things they might change. One of the things that's been brought to us, or we've been made aware of, is that one of the things that would happen, and Commissioner Howard, you mentioned this to me a moment ago, and I want to mention, is that if there were to be athletic fields in some of these basins, they would have improved underdrain systems, which would allow them to drain in regular type of rains, and even in space forms, down through the field more quickly than they perhaps might now. But one of the things we've heard from some of the agencies that we've talked to that have done this is one of the challenges is sometimes those fields drain too quickly, and they actually become dry. So it's kind of a good problem that they don't retain the water, but they dry out too quickly. So some of the agencies that have done this have actually gone back in afterwards and actually put in irrigation systems to make sure that the turf continues to be playable. So that's an example of some of the advice we've got from some of these agencies to, kind of got a list of, here's some considerations that they provided.
Have any of them regretted making that decision to work with the community and floodplain program?
Well, I'll be honest, they haven't asked that question, but I guess the way I think I would answer that, I would say I don't think they have, because when they made the decision, knowing that you know, there was going to be an impact, somewhat of a detrimental impact on the park, but they made the decision, that park board and that community made the decision that they felt it was best and right for the whole community, so that, you know, if the park got that much worse, but the community was helped that much, they decided that that was a choice they were willing to make, and I think that's the type of considerations our park board is going through right now as well. We'll get right back to you, Kevin.
Hi. Before I ask my question, I want to admit that I am the lowest spot on Pine Street, and I'm also a huge soccer fan. I'm a family soccer fan. We watch soccer on the weekends. We live soccer. But my question is, as a taxpayer, I'm just looking at this and the whole city of Elmhurst as, is this the best use of this particular property? Have you considered at all looking at, or has the city asked, if perhaps this could only be used for detention? There is a cost to trying to make it a soccer field and a detention area, and there's also limitations then as to how far you can go. If it was solely detention, you could go much deeper, and I'm guessing might even be more expensive to build it. Have you looked at all at other pieces of property in the city that potentially could be swapped?
Yes. We got yes and yes and yes. All of those things are considerations the park board is having right now about a number of sites, but in particular about gold medals. Exactly those.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, really.
And you're next. Okay.
My name is John Baker. And here's a picture of Lake Baker. You see that okay? Yeah. I live behind the J.C. Penn lot. And unlike some people here, I'm one of those where I get water from the park. Now, I know you didn't create it. And I know that I'm on the low spot of Addison. And I know about watersheds. What I don't know is what we're going to do about this. Engineering studies are a wonderful thing. Multiple engineering studies, I guess, are even better. But this conversation did not begin with this flood in August. We have 50-year rains every 3 or 4 years in August. And this discussion began with, I think, 2 floods back. Now, I lived with the first Lake Baker. I lived with the second. And the third is now 4. One car lost, 3 cars. My car is out. I've been driving it a week now. It was in the shop 3 weeks. Luckily, they were able to save it. I'm a lucky one. It's just my garage. It's not my house. Lived in Elmhurst for 31 years. I came here for the schools and the parks. I didn't come for the water sports. I'm a little frustrated. And I'm here to listen to you guys, but the 5th flood, I'm moving. I'm leaving Elmhurst.
Okay. So I'll address that to the best I can. We'll take a tiny little segue to J.C. Todd. J.C. Todd, for those of you aren't aware, is on March Avenue. It's north of North Avenue, about 2.5 blocks. And that is an example going all the way back to, I think, the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, of the city of Elmhurst, not the park, but the city of Elmhurst trying to address flooding and water backups. Their J.C. Todd is called a Todd lot on purpose because it's a very small park. It's 2 residential lots. Those lots used to have homes, and the city bought those homes from the residents because it was the lowest spot in the entire area, lower than Addison. That spot there on March is the lowest spot, and the homes were taken out. And for a number of years, the partnership leased it at no cost as a park, and then eventually the property was deeded over to the park. So let's, for example, use this. So let's call where the word soccer is. That's J.C. Tatla. That is the lowest spot in that entire part of the neighborhood. So I will, and we're agreeing, but we're going to agree to disagree at the same time. I will respectfully disagree. The park is not flooding your yard. The park is holding a whole bunch of water, so it fills up the bathtub, and then it fills and fills and fills and fills, wider and wider and wider, and eventually it gets to your garage and other homes and across the street. But the park, because you know, if you have water in your garage, that means the swings are, you know, or if I'm standing there, it's like this. And that's a good thing, because all that water is there in the park, not in the homes, not in your house. And so that's the fact of the topography. In terms of the fix, in that location, there's nothing that the park district can do to address that. I actually spoke to the neighbors immediately south of Jason's outlet. I was sitting at his dining room table a couple of weeks ago. And I got from the city and shared with him the drawings and the maps about the pipe sizing in the street. The only way that those issues in that area would be addressed would be through larger pipes or through a basin somewhere else. There's nothing partnership-wise that can be done to address that. So I'm going to suggest it's a question. We hear you. We understand. I'm going to suggest it's one that needs to go to the city.
Let me just say one thing. This is not simply a question of that being the lowest spot and the rainwater goes there, because along with the picture, I have a video showing the water coming out of the sewer long before the rainwater from my yard or that park started filling the park up.
Right.
Long before that happens, the water starts coming out of the sewer.
Right.
I again know that's not your fault.
Right, and we agree it's the same issue. It's that the pipes in the street are filled and back charging up and coming up the drain and the tunnel.
Okay.
And the city's going to address that with a large I-290 detention area, or not? That's what was
it's,
on their
list. It's on their list.
So there's supposed to be a detention base in North of Lake.
In my lifetime?
Yeah, you have it. Up to the city.
They're next then.
You have to ask the city.
I have a quick comment and another question about Golden Meadows. I did what you just talked about a few minutes ago. I lived on Avon for 15 years and I sold my house in the spring, and I got the topographical map developers from the city engineer, and I photoshopped that with street map developers, and I used that photoshop. I'm not building it. My question about Golden Meadows is that after living on Avon for so long, Avon and Pine are lower than Golden Meadows. So without pumping, how is the water going to get to Golden Meadows if it's going to fill?
Greg, would you care to take a stab at that? I don't know if we can. I'm not sure if we can answer that.
Yeah, through the excavation of the park itself, when they lower the ground, they'll be able to allow the pipes to come in and fill that area. And so they will be able to move the water from those streets down into the park.
So the idea there being, I believe, if I may, is that if the streets are generally here, but you happen to be the lowest point here, and Golden Meadows is down here, up here right now, they'll actually get Golden Meadows down to such a point that it will get lower than that lowest point to be able to have the gravity carry.
Will that require new pipes from Avon?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I have a comment / question. Okay, and it kind of is on, follows her question. Maybe wouldn't it be better to just make some of these deeper and not make them into something else too? Like, forget about it being a soccer field. Just say, make it deep enough to handle the water and just call it that. Because here's the problem. Even though you can make it a soccer field again, after the rain goes away, when you have a field 8 feet down from the rest of the ground around it, it's going to be an oven in there. So is the soccer game going to be fun to play? Has anyone thought about what the temperature's going to be down there? I play golf, and there's a couple in the point course. There's a couple holes that are lower than the others. You play there, and you're dying, and you're sweating, you're steaming. It's like you go to the next hole, there's a breeze again. So, there's not going to be a breeze in there. Is the soccer game going to be fun to play? So maybe should you just work with the idea of being a soccer field and just make it extra deep? And, if you're going to take care of a problem, take care of a problem. Okay. Have you thought about that?
Have we thought about that? I'll, we know each other, so I can say this. Don't forget you're speaking to the park district. And so the notion of, just doing away with soccer fields is a challenge. We have, the community would tell you that we don't have enough soccer fields right now. And so doing away with them is a challenge. Now, if there were ways we could replace those soccer fields, and if there was other open space in the community that was kind of available to become soccer fields, that becomes, an easier consideration. Of course, if there was other open property in the community that was available for a soccer field, it might also be available for detention. And that's why we're here where we are. So if that balancing act of
And like using Garden Lights, for example, if the park board were to decide to use the west part of Golden Meadows, those would need to be moved. Those can move more easily than soccer fields just because of how large soccer fields are. So are we considering that type of thing? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's just kind of the biggest part of the challenge. Greg, one second. Greg, do you want to say anything about the temperatures?
I was actually going to address the depth as well. Sure. And one of the other things we need to look at from an engineering perspective is groundwater. And so we do have to look at what is the groundwater elevation under some of these little things and how low can we go? Because you have the potential actually to dig a lake then instead of put back in the dry facility. And so those things are all, they have not been done to this level yet. Those things will have to occur as we move along. But that is something that, that we will look at.
Thank you.
Time for the pool. Like Mr. Baker, I have a problem because of the J.P. Tatla. He lives on one side of it, and I live directly across the street from it. And I can't believe that it isn't a problem that it floods my house. Because once it floods, it goes into the street across the curb, into my front yard. Now we've pulled out carpeting for the fourth time this year. If, I guess you can't answer this for me, but I'm questioning if the city knew it was not buildable, why on earth did owners allow both houses that are impacted by the J.P. Tatla to be sold? Bought my house 2003, at that point we weren't flooding. I have another property in Willow, and I'm glad to think that maybe that will be resolved. That's been flooding longer than March, but I know Mr. Baker's talked about it. It would be nice, you know, if it happens again, I gotta sell. Who can buy these? Nobody wants them. And we've sunk a lot of money into making it our home. And I'm retired, you know, senior citizen. You run out of money after a while. So why can't there be some sort of retention device put into the padlock and just take away all the equipment, all the surfaces, the hard surfaces in there, so at least it doesn't flood?
Okay, the last part of what you said there, on that site, could you pull all of the equipment out and have it not be a park and be just a detention basin? Yes, that could be done. The city has not asked the park to consider that. The park board has not considered that at this point in time. But even if that were to be done, you always have to keep in mind that, as with any of these, there are limits on how much water that could hold. So it would be as big as the lot and as deep as maybe we could go, 6, 7, 8 feet until we potentially hit groundwater. And then if there's a big, giant rain and it's the lowest spot in the entire area, 3, 4, 5, 6 blocks in all directions, when enough rain comes down, it will fill up. And then when it fills up, again, just like, you know, the puddle in your front yard, the little depression of, you know, where you're, you know, whatever, an animal dug a little hole. It'll fill up with water, and then it'll just keep filling up and get bigger and bigger and bigger. So, again, we hear your plight, we understand. But I'm gonna again respectfully disagree that the park is flooding your yard. The park serves as a detention basin right now and is holding water that isn't in your home. So for example, if instead of the park there were two homes there, the flooding in all of the homes around it would be much, much worse. And those two homes, their basins would be full of water all the time. But instead, that part, as the lowest part there, holds water. I'm not discounting at all the concerns you're raising. They're very legitimate concerns. But short of pulling the park out and making that a completely detention basin, it's really about the infrastructure in the street there.
It's an underused park. It's for little children that have to be taken there by a parent when they have time. It's not like Marin's Park or some of the others, but this park is underused. And we're paying the penalty for it. I mean, put a hole there or whatever, or at least all gray so the water is absorbed. One year, we had wood chips that looked beautiful, but you know what it did? It came right into the street, and it filled up all the grates. Nothing could go down.
And that's why we took them off.
after I call.
Thank you. More questions. We're going to take maybe two more on gold medals and then move on.
You said you're kicking around the idea of the other part of the park here.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to make a decision whether or not you're going to consider that? Because since we're not seeing drawings, we don't know what that would look like. So.
Shortly, and I'm not trying to be evasive, it's the as I said in the beginning, Yorktown and Gold Meadows are the two priority sites that identified by the city, and so those are the sites that the board is most actively discussing right now. So in short order, the next few weeks, the board will be considering that site again and looking at some more of the detail and potentially the other end.
Did you ask the city when they decided to sell the old hospital area if they had considered using that for any type of retention? Because it seems like they're putting a problem on your back and they had a bonus opportunity. And then putting 50 houses in there.
Well, let me just clarify one thing. I'm not sure if this is what you meant, but just to clarify one thing. So they who sold the hospital, just so everybody understands, wasn't the city. It was the hospital. The city never had any ownership over that property. It was owned by a private entity, just like you're a private entity and you are an IMA. So the hospital could do with that property as they wish. There were some discussions about that property and in various ways that it could be a part of stormwater management and stormwater solutions, and I'll just say that they didn't come to pass.
Evan, rephrase this question and say Hahn Street, because the city does own that.
Okay. Yeah, okay, come on.
Hi, thank you very much for having this discussion today and entertaining it. We appreciate that you have this citywide meeting. It's taken us a while to get here for Hahn Street, and we just are very happy that we've gotten this far in the process. So we wanted to thank you for that. We want to also say that just to make sure people understand, similar to what Ms. Fleischer was explaining for the your cottage area with regards to just like the four houses that surround my house, even if you added a rain barrel to each and every home in Elmhurst, you would only store the water in our four basements. So this is the reason that these projects are needed. And so we really appreciate that you are taking this so seriously and you spent so much time doing so. So we just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Karen. I live on Clinton Avenue. I have a question about Golden Meadows. I am two blocks west of Golden Meadows, and what I'm seeing now, I think, is that back part where the soccer field is currently. If you plan on going into where the public gardens are, will that close the public garden? I'm asking selfishly because I'm in there all the time with my dog. It's a great place to go. It's a great place not to have to be on anybody's neighbor's yard. We love to run there. Will it shut down Golden Meadows then?
The way I would answer that, this is a great answer, would say it depends. And really what it would depend on, I think, would be to what extent that end would be used. If it would be used and dropped, say, 4 feet, 6 feet, even 8 feet, and I know that sounds really deep, but there would be very gentle slopes that would allow folks to walk or run or jog into those areas. If it's something like that type of a drop in elevation, then yes, it would still be usable. If it turned out that it was made to be considerably deeper as a possibility, then it might not be usable in that regard.
Then what does that do to my property value? Because right now it's great. Right now I have a park 2 blocks from my house, and that's great. I go to sell my house, and now I have a giant hole 2 blocks from my house.
Yep, and that in a nutshell is part of what the park board is trying to consider as they consider impacts on neighbors. I think there are probably some folks in the room who would say that maybe there's a balancing point between I had a park, but everybody around me flooded, and now I don't have a park, but people around me don't flood. And I'm not being flippant. Please understand. And I should have said this at the beginning too, but and I know you know this, but don't forget too that, you know, your park board members sitting up here are, you know, regular Joe resident just like you, and they're trying to take all those things into account and kind of balance those types of impacts. Property value impacts that exist now because of the flooding versus property value impacts of diminished or lessened or fewer parks. So it's all part of the equation. Okay, we're gonna move on to East End. And for those of you who are staying, I'm not going to tell the people here that are leaving that there's a big prize at the end of the stick down. Okay, the next part site we're going to take a look at is East End. This is up at the north end of East End Park, northwest corner of East End Park. The swimming pool is now at the southeast end, and this is up in the northwest corner. There are two existing ball diamonds here. We number them numbers 2 and 3. As you can imagine, there's a ball field a little further away. That's field number 1. This is 3rd Street as it makes its way in the curves onto to Caroline. The proposed solution here would create about 4 acre feet of storage, and it's designed to help the area that is identified as Geneva or North Geneva up there, which is the block immediately west of kind of what we're seeing here. So there are some homes that head back right up to the park here, and Geneva Avenue is right here. The plan here is that this section of the park would be dropped. About 3 feet, and in terms of inflows, there would be piping that would come from Geneva, come down Geneva, take a turn potentially, come along 3rd Street, and feed into the park or the basin here, and then it would through a restrictor eventually drain out toward the east again, back toward the Addison Creek location. And again, just so everyone understands, the current infrastructure situation here serving this area in that same direction, that same flow. So right now, Geneva and the streets there come down to 3rd, and the current piping runs this way, comes right through the park, and goes over that same direction. So the idea here is kind of a little different, but the same kind of thing, is that to get the water off the street and into the park where it would be held, and then it would move on its way. Now, those of you who live around this park, you might be saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, the park already filled up with water just like the street does, and you're very accurate in that statement. And so the idea here would be that this would be constructed such that it could hold that water and also bring the water in from the street as well. In terms of the cities, yes, thank you. Just to clarify to you, thank you, Commissioner Spade. The city's request to the park district right now has two priority projects identified, one being York Commons and Golden Meadows. The projects we'll talk about from this point forward are in the future on the city's plans. We cannot address, we do not know what the city's thoughts and plans are timing-wise. We are reacting and responding to their prioritization of projects. We have had, the park board, I should say, has had a number of discussions about this site, so it's not as if we're all looking at the park board looking at this for the first time. But right now, their focus has not been on East End because the city's request for prioritization has been those other two sites. But we'd be happy to answer questions about this one as well.
Hi, my name is Lester Holtz. Maybe more of a general question since you announced this from phase 1 to phase 2. For phase 1, for the timeline you mentioned, by the end of the month, you try to have a decision. Beyond that, it sounds like there could be reconciliation between B3 and FERC. Do you have an estimate about that timeline, what that would look like? And then I guess, I know you can't answer the construction part, but are we talking another year of back and forth with the engineering companies?
I wouldn't think so. I think that once decisions would be made about, the park board gives the okay to conceptually do this,
then once there's not, you know, the discussion back and forth, the engineers can work quickly, and Greg, you can nod if you agree with me. But the notion being that those things could proceed pretty quickly, and again, if decisions were made in the next month or so, I could see where the city could be under construction in 2015. I'm not going to say, you know, spring, summer, fall, but in 2015.
Yeah, I think there would be 4 to 6 months of design plus permitting involved as well. So depending on what permits get triggered, that may add some timeline onto it. But I know the hope is to be in 2015 construction season. It just depends how quickly that can occur from a permitting perspective. And hopefully it doesn't slide into 6 feet.
Thank you. I think part of our other goals is we really don't want to engineer these things. We want to put guardrails on them, that caveats, whatever you want to call it, so that they perform in a certain way. And P3 is helping us with a lot of that, but ultimately the city will be responsible for engineering it and making sure it performs the way that it's supposed to. So hopefully that helps as well.
So I'll follow that up with what you said there, Vince, about hopefully the city and Burke puts it together and B3 approves of that proposal. From that standpoint, you're going to have to go through an IDA perspective and outline certain guidelines and your review process. Do you expect that if you say, I'm going to do Gully Meadows or East End, you go ahead and do the IDA and then review it, and the city comes up with some wild-ass idea and is not listening to you because they have the IGA in hand, is something going to be in the IGA to stop the project if, for some reason, they're not listening to your needs and also the residents that are around those areas?
It's just a clarification, for those who may not know the one, is an IGA, Intergovernmental Agreement, just so everybody understands what Mr. Gravis is referring to. The district's intention in terms of building and safeguard will be continuing to retain the services of B3. And so what we would look to build into the IGA is that the Park District would have review, and I'm not going to say approval because it's the wrong term, but kind of sign-off confirmation of, you know, as Greg said, the elevation of X needs to be at this elevation. So Greg would see that on the plans, and he would, you know, sign off and yes, that's how it's drawn. Then it would become an issue of then potentially us continuing to retain B3 when it gets into construction. Because what you do in construction, and not even in a peer review, but even on your own, you have an architect design something or an engineer design something, then you hire a contractor to build it, and then what you do is you have the engineer or the architect go out on the site and make sure, okay, the plan says it ought to be, you know, this high and whatever this is, this pipe, and this pipe is this high. And so we would look to work with the city to continue to ensure that as agreed to would be built. And I want to add to so that I made, the Elmhurst Partners and the city of Elmhurst have decades and decades worth of extraordinarily successful intergovernmental agreements. Everything from open space along Salt Creek to the maintenance facility to the agreement regarding the public library in the Wilder Mansion to agreements regarding fire station number 2 in York Commons Park. So we have a long and very, very productive, but most importantly, beneficial relationship with all of you as residents, because any time that we can work cooperatively to achieve, let's use the fire station in York Commons, for example, and that's the fire station that's there now, it's fire station number 2, it's the second station on this, but it's the second iteration. There was a previous fire station that was built, I think, in the 60s, and then it was replaced by that one. In either of those cases, had it not been for both of our abilities to work together, perhaps the city is going out and looking to buy property to build a fire station. So I do want people to hopefully have a positive, you know, understanding that there's a lot of intergovernmental cooperation that takes place between the city and the park district, and all of us as residents benefit from that every day. So just a little commercial for intergovernmental cooperation between the two.
Campus
Life,
East End Park. My question is, you know, you're not really a very good neighbor. I mean, we have Lake Geneva that appears there after every rainstorm. I have to call. I have to do emails. It's about the standing water, the mosquitoes. It is a horrible situation. Now you're telling me this is not on the priority list. So it looks like how many years away from this?
So in the meantime, what are you going to do about all that standing water and that attractive nuisance to our children?
Sure. I'll kind of use this again as an example, as we talked about with J.C. Todd and some of the other park locations in town. In this part of the neighborhood here, the lowest spot in this entire area is about where the letter B in baseball is, about where that little arrow is. And so this part of the community is served by East End Park, and this particular part of East End Park, serving as a detention base. So all of the water that is in that park is not on streets, in homes, and in basements. So it's providing a service, and this is like, you can shake your head at me if you want, I understand it, but I'm just speaking factually for how that serves. Does it, and it drains slowly, and one of the reasons why it drains slowly is because if it drained real fast, it would backcharge into the system and be into all the sewers in the streets. And so can there be enhancements made to that? There absolutely could be. You know, we could try to have it drain somewhat more quickly, but the notion is that this is serving that area of the community by detaining that water. In terms of the prioritization, that's not the park district's call. That those are decisions that have been made by the city. And as to, I believe, in terms of their prioritization, I think what they looked at, and you can quote me on this, but I'll kiddingly say don't quote me on it. I think what they looked at was the greatest number of homes that could be impacted. I believe that's how they looked at when they looked at some of their prioritizations. That, you know, this park might help 10 homes, and this park might help 35 homes, and this park might help 50 homes, and so they prioritize that way. And in terms of concerns, questions, or thoughts you have about that prioritization, it would behoove you, I believe, to speak to your city elected officials in your role and to get some of that information.
Are you going to provide us with those funds? So, if you're going to, you know, we can't do this without it. Are we
wanting
to have bulk stock there so that at least we can
rent to
Geneva?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't have any
transfer. But it
does take
like 2 to 3 weeks
for it to dry up. Yes, it takes a while for it to drain down. Right. Every time that park fills up with water, we bring generators and pumps out to pump it. Okay.
So you're saying it takes time for the retention pond to drain, which is fine, 24, 48 hours, maybe even Thursday. This last storm event in August.
The last storm event in August. I'm new in town. I moved to Geneva middle of July, so. And my issues are nothing compared to what my neighbors deal with. However, the issue that was brought up over there is one we are dealing with, where we couldn't use our backyard for 3.5 weeks because it smelled like poo. The flies and mosquitoes were gone, and the whole park was full of water. Okay, it takes 2 days to drain, 3 days. What about 2.5 weeks? What can be done about that?
Sure. Let me clarify the difference between the couple of days and the couple of weeks. This currently is not a detention basin. It's a park that fills up and holds water. If it were changed to a detention basin, quite honestly, it would drain out more quickly. But right now, it's not designed to do that, because if it drained out more quickly now, where the drains go, it would backcharge into the system, up into the streets. So it doesn't function now as a detention basin. Now it functions as a low-lying area with a small amount of drainage that holds the water longer.
Right. You send a guy out with a pump. Right. 2.5 weeks later, after this storm, it didn't rain. It was dribbled a little afterward. That had it, would have been a bigger problem, but 2.5 weeks later, there was a place for that water to go. You could have a pump out there sooner. Is that a park district thing? Or
it's the park district, and I don't want to get... I believe we had pumps out sooner than 2.5 weeks after it rained, but I don't want to get into an argument over the dates. But.
I also live on Geneva along with people, and it is true. The water stayed there for 2.5 weeks. Now, we're talking about a safety hazard for the neighbors and the children. I witnessed that evening that it rained, children leaving East End Park in the dark at 9 o'clock to go swimming in 4 feet of water. That is a safety issue. Okay, and the water didn't just stay in the detention pond. Our streets were flooded 4 feet, all the way up to our houses. And I keep up to the East End, to the ball field. I live across the street. That water came from that park, filled our street, all the way up to the brick of our homes,
It's a safety problem, and it shouldn't take 2.5 weeks to get the water to leave that area.
Okay. Again, I'm just, I'll just say, I understand your concern about how long the water stays, but again, I'm just going to say, in terms, the park did not flood your street. The fact that, I'm speaking to the woman behind you, I'm sorry. The park did not flood your street. The park is doing a good thing for that neighborhood, because all that water, one of the ways we could address it to get the water to not be there would be to fill that portion of the park with dirt and raise the ball field up. And then there wouldn't be a pond in that park. But that water would go somewhere. It would go to wherever the next lowest point is. So it could be the backyards on Geneva, it could be a block south, it could be two blocks west. But that park is serving a function. I don't know if any of you are members of Quartz Plus, where you drive by. There's a big, huge, open, grassy area, a big bowl out in front of Quartz Plus. That's a detention basin. That serves just, that's one of the best examples in town of a dry bottom detention basin. Most of the time, it doesn't have a drop of water. And in some of these recent storms we have, it gets pretty filled up with water. And that serves that purpose. But that area in East End is doing a service. And I'm not saying, congratulate the parks. You just have, you'll notice any time you go to, you'll notice lots and lots of the parks are in the lower lying parts of town. Why? Because they're less desirable areas to build homes, and so they're left as open space. I mean, even think about East End in and of itself. It backs right up to that curve of the highway. Not really the most necessarily desirable, and at the time it was the far east end of town. And so it's the low-lying spot. I hear your concerns and understand them about trying to make it drain faster, but it could only drain so fast that it wouldn't discharge back into your storm pipes now.
And there are plans to fix it. City's elected to put it on phase two. We'll put it wherever the city puts it. We're not in control of that part. We've got multiple options on the table to improve that whole situation, and it'll be good with either option. I'm confident we'll probably go with, but the city's in charge.
So I just have a question on this, because in the ideal world, the city would upgrade the infrastructure first and then look to retention basins as the infrastructure isn't strong enough here or here and just little bitty pockets of the city. 20 or 30 years ago, they made the decision to do to do these huge homes on these little bitty lots. And that's a decision that they made, and now, unfortunately, they turned to you to solve it for them. Really, this should be like the second phase, all of these retention basins. Infrastructure should be phase one of the city. The city 30 years ago should have said, we are building these used homes, we're not going to be able to retain water. We need to make that plan in place before we start getting big. In 100 permits this year, and none of them were 1,300 square foot homes. So that being said, the city is turning to you. Can you reprioritize this one? What I'm seeing in this picture here is that water is flowing to that space regardless. And it's flooding, it's causing some other mosquito problems or other issues or 2 weeks of water. That seems, and it seems like a whole group of people are here that would definitely be positively impacted. And it's water that goes there anyway. In the York Commons one, it's water, the pipe one, yes, that definitely comes. But all the additional water has never come that far south in Elmhurst. And so in every other example that the city has made, they've made it on water that's going to that space regardless. The one that they're prioritizing is water that has never gone to that space before. So I don't know if you can reprioritize and say, you know what, this is more important. Our constituents are coming out and saying this is more important.
Again, we can share those thoughts, and we certainly will with the city, but it's not for us to prioritize. We are, because I think Commissioner Spake said this earlier, the park board's priority would be not to have detention basins in any park. So it would be that there isn't the list. And so, but the city has put together this list and done this engineering and made these proposals and has prioritized how they prioritize. We can certainly share this concern, but I would suggest to you, as I said earlier, you have representation at the city and contact your alderman and suggest to them that, I'd like to see X location, moved up or made a priority number one and that kind of thing, because that, quite frankly, you will carry more weight than the park district asking that.
I would also say that Golden Meadows is a little similar to your comments in terms of it doesn't take all that water for Pine Street now. You want to take Pine Street and put it in Golden Meadows. You want to take Crescent Street and put it into York Commons. We just don't want there to be any other negative effect. You know, so we're looking at other options to make sure we minimize or eliminate those negative effects. So it's a difficult balancing, but that's why it's taking more time with just saying yes. It's, you know, we want to live with this and feel good about it.
We're going to take one more on East End.
This is more of a general question, so it's probably for the engineer. As you look at taking water from all of the streets and moving them in these basins, at what point, because right now there's a bunch of homes around this spot that some may flood, others may not. Like, what's the critical point? I mean, are any of those homes that are in a good spot today that don't flood at risk as we take water from these other spots and put them into these basins? If there's that same 2013, you know, 7 inches of rain in 24 hours.
I think the key to the design is that the existing infrastructure, storm sewer infrastructure, is going to be maintained or improved so that the water that can move through the system today continues to do that or does even better that. And then when we dig a hole, we dig a hole that's 8 feet deep, that hole is going to fill before other things around it fill. And that doesn't mean that your home just got lower. It means the thing next to you got lower. So it has the ability to go into that hole before it impacts your home. So the homes around that area, they're not going to see additional water. If Golden Meadows, let's say, as an example, or East End. That water,
even though it's taking more water to that spot, if a home's in a good spot, it's not going to get worse because of any of the two times.
Correct.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to move on to Pioneer Park and Center.
We have one more question.
Is the slide ready, Mel?
Nick DeGiorgio, and I live up against East End Park, Hollywood D in baseball. I've lived there since 1989, and I have not gotten a drop of water since 2010. And I noticed you said something about the pipes. And where will those pipes run? Do we have to grant like an easement through my property for those pipes? And is the adjoining infrastructure going to be upgraded as well? That's, and I guess on the back of my yard, how much is it going to drop off? I mean, I'm all for this retention thing. I wish it was a priority more.
In terms of easements and such, as proposed right now, the piping would all be in the streets where the existing piping is now. So it would follow Geneva down to 3rd and then 3rd over to the park. So it wouldn't be coming through private property as currently proposed. That was one question. How close? Not close to the property line in terms of the basin. It's from where you are. This would be, I would tell you, would be out past the picnic grove into the park.
I mean, how far this retention?
No, but it's a good question. It won't be there.
Are the existing pipes in this creek going to be so large as long as you're digging? I mean, are the existing storm sewers, because I never got water until 2010.
Look at the plans, I would say.
Yeah.
Go review the plans that the city has put out there, as well as on the Park District site. They have all the information, the same information, more than the city, in my opinion. And you'll be able to see it. And the answer is no. In a lot of cases. In some cases, they are. But only in
What's the question? I'm sorry, what's the question?
Is the adjoining infrastructure going to be upgraded as well?
That's a question for the city to answer. There are some plans for it. It's happened in certain places. Certainly, additional larger pipes would be added for this specific purpose, but in terms of other ones around, that some of that is on the city's plans, and we have copies of those on the website, so those could be.
But the storm drain in front of my driveway, is that pipe going to be enlarged?
In terms of what specifically is proposed right here, no, not as a part of that.
All right.
Commissioner Howard reminds me, too, that I'd like to show you
Are you in the middle of Geneva?
Yes.
On the east side?
Yes. Yeah.
If you go on our website, you'll see that there have been some iterations on this plan.
Okay.
Where we talked about, and like you, I live on Geneva. I'm not as far north as you guys, but I know, you know, I'm very familiar with East End Park, and, you know, I know what's going on up there, and I too was disappointed that that was back burning, but there are, we've actually gutted East End Park to a greater extent than we have Old Meadows, ironically, in our committee, and there's been some subsequent ideas thrown out that don't use a pipe, that use just an overland flow route. And I don't know, again, keep in mind, the city's the quarterback on this.
Right.
You know, so we are, there are more than one, there is more than one option floating around.
Like for example, I'm showing one on the screen now, and we recognize, everyone recognizes from the website that this is a private property residence right now, that's acknowledged. The city's plan does talk in certain portions of town about whether property acquisitions would need to be a part of these solutions. So this is just a very rudimentary drawing as compared to some of the others, but the notion being that if perhaps that property was acquired, could you just move the water from the lowest point in the middle of the street overland again without pipes right into the park and then potentially, you know, still do the basin out in the park and just get it there that way without pipes. So there are different kind of, as Kushan said, iterations and concepts being looked at.
Jim, would you say that that's the park doing those ideas and not the city? Or
I would say it's coming out of our mutual conversations.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. I'll demonstrate my info. Okay. There are some flooding concerns on Seminole Avenue, which most of you may not know. York Road, where the old Brown's Chicken used to be, that's that intersection is York and Seminole, and about two blocks east of that, there is an area of flooding, overland flooding, where it backs up and some basements are flooded and things like that. The city came to the park, or one of the proposed concepts from the city is to utilize either Pioneer Park or Wild Meadows Trace to address that. I'm going to show you real quick here. This is Pioneer Park. This is four homes. This is the only prairie we have here, and this is Pioneer Park. I realize it's a small drawing, but we're not going to spend much time on this. And one of the two ways to address this issue was to lower the soccer field here in Pioneer Park and make a basin there that would feed from Seminole, which is up north here, and come down into the park this way and feed into it. The park board kind of at the and then the other way of addressing this particular issue was to look here at doing something along Wild Meadows Trace, which is along Seminole, and now I'm going to pull up the larger version of that. I know everybody cock your heads to the right. And so this is what's proposed here. And again, to just kind of give you your bearings, this is the prairie path. This is the railroad tracks, the freight tracks, basically Canadian National that cross over the prairie path. And then this is Seminole Avenue here. And then there's an intersection here that's Seminole and Prospect going up towards St. Charles Road. So the idea here would be that that this area would be excavated about four to five feet deep. This area along here, kind of along the street here, it's somewhat wooded. It's not, I would tell you, it's not as wooded, quite as wooded as it looks here. It's got some trees there, but a lot of open space there. And the idea would be here that it's kind of the homes down here. Some of the homes here that flood and up the block a little bit. But the idea would be that water would enter this area here, just overland through a cut in the curve, would come into this basin, and then would drain out this way and tie back into the system. The park board, this is 3 acre feet, so it's not a big detention basin, it's not a big site, because it's not trying to attract that many homes. The park board, many months ago, had basically said to the city that they didn't have any overarching concerns about this site, and that if the city wanted to continue to, you know, further look into this, that they were amenable to that. At this point in time, the city has not chosen to move ahead with this site, but that's kind of where it stands right now. So, Andrew, do you have a question of the coming members?
Hi, I just wondered,
does
any of the proposed...
Can you wait for the mic?
I'm just wondering, do any of these sites have a greater impact to solve the entire problem? In other words, have you surveyed how many more houses one area gets impacted versus another? And thus, would that be an element of prioritization?
Yes, and for each of the sites, and you'll find the information both on our website for each of the sites and in the FERC reports, each of the sites is noted as that exactly how many homes is projected to help. And again, I can't say this for a fact, but I believe that the city's prioritization was based around prioritizing those sites that would help larger numbers of homes. I believe that's kind of where they set their priorities. We have a question for you. This gentleman, thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wondering where the Pioneer Park project stood, because I live off of Pioneer Park, and I hadn't seen it on the drawings there. So it's
right now. Well, basically, what the park board has said is that this issue in this location can be solved. It can be solved either with Pioneer Park or with this. The park board is saying this and not Pioneer Park. They don't want to have that basin in that park if they don't need to.
Okay.
Same solution. Would solve it either way.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Any other questions regarding Wild Meadows Trace? Yeah.
Well, sorry.
That's okay.
The gentleman had just mentioned Pioneer Park. Pioneer Park is south, correct, of Wild Meadows Trace.
Correct. Literally right across the tracks from here. Let me just point. This is the intersection of the railroad and the prairie pad, and Pioneer Park is right here.
Okay. So just to the west of Pioneer Park is Villette, Swain, which have 104 homes that flood. And which is, again, a stone's throw away from Pioneer Park. I know it's reverse, but I honestly can't say I've looked at the elevation to say water could flow that way or not. I don't think it could, but again, has anything been looked at from that, or are you guys, because it backs up to homes, like your comments?
Well, I would imagine from the bird perspective that they didn't look at that. For the what you mentioned is that it's upstream. It wouldn't be able to flow by gravity to affect those. Doesn't mean you couldn't consider alternatives like pumping to move the water there. But that has not been something that the city has brought to us. Don't know whether they've looked at it or not, but it has not been brought to us. Okay, we're going to move on then to Crestview Park. As I'm opening this up, the city, after the 2010 storm, engaged FERC Engineering to do a study of Elmhurst, and they identified, I think it's 9 areas that saw flooding in 2010. And after the 2013 rains, they had identified 3 additional sites and asked FERC to study those as well. One of those sites involves Crestview Park. The 2 other sites don't involve park property, so I won't be addressing those. But one of those sites involves the neighborhood around Crestview Park. This information has been shared with the park district, literally sent over. It has not been formally presented by the city. Our subcommittee, our engineer, have not talked to the city, haven't talked with the FERC engineers yet, so we don't have nearly as much information about this. Not no one's fault, it's kind of hot off the press. So I'm just going to kind of give a quick overview of it. I know that the city held a public meeting with the Crestview neighbors last night, and then we've only, at this point, even gotten bits of information there, but I'm sure we'll be getting more to find out how that meeting went. There are the potential for 2 usages of Crestview Park to try to address some flooding concerns here. One is, and I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Crestview if you don't live there, but Crestview Avenue goes out to York Road, and it's a stoplight there by the Waverton Hotel. You can take that up to the park. And then Van Auken is the cross street. This is kind of what would be referred to as the front of the park. Sorry, I'm pointing and you're not seeing anything. This is Van Auken, this is Crestview, the front of the park. We have a parking lot here, a small recreation preschool building, and there are some flooding concerns with these homes that come right up to the park. And this is one of those situations now where, from the neighbor perspective, understandably, the park floods their homes. And the reason why the park floods their homes is because the park here is the higher elevation than the homes, as reversed to some of the others, where again, we're the lower and the residential is the higher. So there end up being, during these flooding events, a ponding here. So the concept here is to take this large open grassy area, which in decades past was an ice skating area, and drop the elevation there some, and move the water that's kind of in the street and the homes here into this area here in the park. And then, you move, the park moves from west to east, and I'm just pointing out some things, so when we flip the page, so we've got a playground, we've got a basketball court, and then you see the edge of a ball diamond here. And I'll then reference that when we get to the next slide.
The sledding hill is there, too.
Yes, yeah. All big fans of sledding, not leaving out sledding. Not leaving out sledding. The sledding hill doesn't come into play with the proposed solutions. So, I'm going to actually make this a little bigger if I can. Okay, so to get your bearings, this is that grassy area at the front we were just talking about. Here's the basketball court, here's the edge of that ball diamond, and then here's the rest of that ball diamond. There are some flooding issues. About 4 or 5 blocks south of Crestview Park down here, this area down here floods. The new potential idea would be that this area could be fitted with new pipes to bring it up this way and come into this area at the back of the park and make a basin here where this ball diamond is. It would come in at this southeast corner and then would flow out here to the east as well. That's about all the information we have there. Burke did a report, which the report's on our website. These drawings on our website, so you can certainly reference those as well. Yes,
Mr. Graham has a question. Not really a question. I just wanted to make sure you also touched on, Jim, the other alternative, which is less impacting homes, but there's a north solution or north alternative and a south alternative as well. What you just described is the south alternative related to Crestview Park being the resolution. The north impacts, I want to say, 2 to 4 homes. Are you going to touch on that as well?
I want to make sure I understand. Are you talking about something besides these two in the park, or could
the
so right? This is the one at the back of the park, and then previously I showed the other one, which is here at the front.
Oh, okay. I thought you were showing one of the same.
No. We showed the two. This one at the front, and then the second one at the back.
My fault.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any kids or anything, but I'm just wondering, what does this do to the scheduling of like the soccer teams and the baseball teams? Has that been analyzed against the historic rainfall? I mean, what sort of elimination of these fields of days of non-use are you looking at?
And I just want to clarify, you mean if they were to be built, not during construction, but if they
correct.
Were to be built.
If they were to be built, yeah. And flooded. Yeah.
Right. The notion with some of the sites would be that quite frankly, they could drain out faster than they do now. So in some of the instances of lighter rains, they could be playable more quickly. In terms of the larger rains, they would be out of commission for a couple of days, and not only out of commission when they have water, but then, you know, your yard. You know, at one point you have standing water, then it still might be another day or so until it's actually dry. We've done some analysis of that, but not a tremendous amount in that. I'll say that it's going to be what it's going to be, and the park board just needs to consider that in the overall, whether it's a day or two or three, it's are they comfortable with that? Is that something that they think the community can stomach if these were to be used for that?
I think what we were approached with originally, protecting for 1,500-year storms, that's a low percentage. It really shouldn't be impactful. But what we're finding is some of these requests from the city, it's really more than that. really maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago.
We're trying to back that out and then decide,
is that worth it or not? We don't want to lose all of our playability. That's a very, very important aspect.
Yeah, because that's what I think Elmhurst is known for.
And I would mention, too, that we do have adult soccer leagues, so you don't have to have kids if you'd like to consider coming out and playing.
Oh, I got bad news already.
No excuses. It's just willpower. Yes, question there.
So I'm just wondering about the homes on the other side, and with the basin being lowered, let's say that if it was done and it was lowered down, I forget what it was.
Can I just interrupt one second? Are you talking about this one or the other one?
The other one.
Yeah, I'm going to switch while you're talking.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, when it fills up, let's say if it fills up in a 50 or 100-year storm like we had in August, it was roughly a 50-year storm, and there's water in there, all of the water that's in there is going to be pushing into those areas around, draining, but that's why it's there. It's trying to hold it. We're not putting in any kind of barriers to stop it from going into my yard or these people's yards. So it will seep in and it will be pressure against everything up to our foundations or these foundations of the homes. So, which is going to be there for 24, maybe 48 hours. And over a period of time, that's going to affect our foundations, our homes, and everything. Seepage is another form of flooding. The city has said that seepage is the responsibility of the homeowner. Now, with this proposal, you're putting water right next to homes that's going to seep into their yards. It's supposed to be resolved by neighbors. The park, in this case, is the neighbor of those people's homes. You're supposed to resolve it neighbor to neighbor. Just like the brand new big homes that are supposed to be doing the new stormwater management policies, all that water is retained on site, will seep, potentially, into the other people's homes, or their own, hopefully. And, again, it's supposed to be resolved by neighbors. So I'm just wondering, what is that? Because that's a lot of pressure when you're talking about millions of gallons of water sitting in one place for 24 to 48 hours.
So as I said before, just to clarify, the park district and the park board are not putting any water in the park. The city is requesting to do that. So part of the park board's consideration will be all sorts of factors like that. For example, with this site, we don't even know how deep that is yet. So we can't, at this point, we can't evaluate that because the engineering hasn't gone that far. I know a lot of folks in the room have, you know, done the research, done the homework, and looked into other communities. Take Washington Park in Downers Grove, for example. That basin there is, some parts of it are very deep, and they have concrete sidewalls to form up the sides of that basin. So. I'm not saying that's what's proposed here, because I don't know how deep this is right now, but there are steps that would be taken that I think from the engineering perspective, the engineers would basically say, well, you know, it can be this deep and have gentle slopes, or if it's going to be much more deeper, there are other things that need to be taken into account, probably both from the seepage perspective and even just the structural integrity of the park and the surrounding area. So, again, this one's real preliminary, and we would have to vet out, the park would have to vet out all those things as it progresses.
But that goes for any of them, yes, that are adjacent to homes.
Yes, all the same considerations. Yes. Okay. Are there any other? Yes, please.
Just a quick going back to the Golden Meadows and also East End Park.
Sure.
That drain over to Addison Creek. So those go through both the railroad yard and which is in private, and then also through Cook County. So Cook County's ordinance is only for a 10-year storm. So even though we are putting larger detention ponds and such, still it's not going to be much more than beyond a 10-year storm because Cook County and that controls.
Right, and I think the crux of the issue kind of that you're raising is that, you can't send your rain water to your neighbor, whether your neighbor is
you know, Vince and me living next door, or DuPage to Cook, or Elmer's to Northlake. And so that's why it's taking East End as the example. When it goes out, it's going to be through a restrictor as well, because only so much water so fast can go into those creeks over there, both just like Suffolk. So yeah, very, 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 very valid point. Just we have a pushing break.
So a couple of questions. Do you have a definitive date of when you will make a decision? And let me ask a follow-up first. Does the Park District actually need more details to make that decision? And then the city obviously would not want to spend more money on the design engineering unless they get a go-ahead. So it seems like we're kind of in a in between of, you guys want more details, but the city doesn't want to spend more details or spend more money to do more design.
Sure.
So. Can you address that?
Yeah, and the way that I've described it, trying to inject a little bit of humor into it, is in the ideal world, when the city came to the park district and said, and being a little facetious, said, we'd like to use your Commons Park for detention. Just being humorous and facetious. The park board would have said, sure, go ahead. And that would have been all that the park board needed. They asked and said, absolutely, go ahead. That would be the city's ideal, because they wouldn't have had to spend a nickel on engineering. They said, sure, go ahead, do what it needs to. The park board's, and that's this end of the spectrum. The park board's perspective, in the ideal world, is we have the engineering drawings 100% done before we would make, the park board would be asked to make a decision. Neither of those is realistic. So the way I've been describing it is that we're both sides are kind of coming in from those ends. The city has done, we've asked questions, and the city has done some engineering. I mentioned earlier, some of the plans when the park board first got them were what were described as 5% developed. Where 100% developed is they're ready to give to a contractor to build. They're about 5%. Basically, from the suggestions and the impetus of V3, they said V3 felt that the park board could be informed enough to make sound decisions if those plans were brought up to about 25%. And so, in fact, perfect example. So Crestview, this is 5%, about, maybe it's 10. George Commons is more like 25. And again, because of the prioritization stuff. So that puts the park board, using an engineering firm, much in a position to be able to make a much better informed decision to benefit the entire community. And so in the case of York Commons, those are the furthest along. Golden Meadows are not quite there. Overflow was talked about earlier time. So those need to come along. So that's kind of how. You know, we're trying to say that we're not asking the city to spend all this money to finish engineering plans, and they're not expecting us to just say, sure, go ahead and do whatever you want. We don't need to see any drawings. That's fine. So we're kind of trying to close that gap. In terms of timing, the park board has not, and I don't believe right now, wants to say that on this date they will make a decision. They understand that the city wants a decision. They are not trying in any means to drag it out. Early on when the park board engaged V3, there were some residents who felt that the park board had engaged V3 for the purposes of slowing it down, slowing down the process, and to find ways to say no. And what we explained to residents was it's actually the exact opposite of that. They engaged V3 in order to speed the process up, because I'm not an engineer, our park board are not civil engineers, so the idea was, let's bring an engineer on who can help explain and help understand and help to ask the right questions from a park usability perspective to move the conversations along. And I think everyone believes that has been very successful in doing that. And so, particularly as regards to your comments, kind of in that period, and then Golden Meadows, the park board is close to a decision, as I said. I will not promise, and I don't think they will promise that a decision would be made in October, but I think they're very close, and I think there's a chance that could happen in October on those two sites.
So I've worked in project management for 15 years, and client integration, project startups is what I do.
Sure.
And for me to tell my boss, well, I'm not sure how long it's going to take. I know you've asked me for an answer for 6 months now, but let me hire someone else to help me do my job. That would be very frustrating for my boss.
Sure. And the difference here is this is not somebody's boss asking their subordinate to get a project done for them. This is, and I'll use the words of the mayor when some of these meetings, in his words, this is the biggest ask that the city of Elmhurst has ever made to the Elmhurst Park District. This has long-term in perpetuity impacts on the usability of open space in this community, and the city has understood that and been respectful. We've been in constant communication, and they understand as well that we are much closer to a decision than not. But the difference there is this is two partners trying to find a way to, if there's a way to cooperate, versus, one saying to the other, hey, you need to tell me because I need to know. And that has not been the tenor of the discussions or the conversations at all. It's been two governmental entities that recognize that they both serve the same constituents, the same taxpayers, trying to find a way to work together for the good of all. But Cookwell, I've done a lot of project management myself, and I agree with your example completely. This is two equals, two partners trying to find a way to work together. And I think trying to avoid, I think, quite frankly, the Park Board is working very hard to say yes. Because the easiest thing for the Park Board to do right away is say, no, that's not what these are for. This is open space. These are soccer fields. These are supposed to be soccer fields in perpetuity, golf fields in perpetuity, or just open space in perpetuity. The easiest thing for them would have just been said no right from day one. Instead, they spend a considerable amount of time and resource and effort to try and address it.
Yeah, I think one other key thing here is we are not out to engineer this thing. That is the city's job to do. We're to put guardrails and performance metrics in place because each part's going to be different. And how this thing works and functions in that area needs some guidelines put on it from us so that we don't impact how you do it, so that we do have playable fields. So we're going to put all that stuff together. Then it's up to the city to do a lot more engineering, and then they're going to have to make it right once it's up and running, just like anything else. If the fields are still dry or wet 2 weeks later, that's going to be unacceptable. And there'll have to be something in our IGA that says they need to fix that. Or if we have a dust bowl, there'll be something on that end of it. And we're working on some of those details, but we're certainly not going to engineer the whole thing by any means. Just a comment.
And again, I appreciate what you guys are doing. As a resident, here's where I get frustrated. I get a bill. I get a tax bill. Park District, the City of Elmhurst, and the school district. I don't get three separate bills. So I'm frustrated. I have to come to three different meetings. I get three different, I don't want to say different versions, but three versions of a story. Why can't, as a resident, I come to one meeting, and instead of having just Park District people sitting up there, I have Park District, District 205 administration, and city officials. Why can it not be a meeting with all of those entities together at once? That's where it's taking too long for this flood mitigation to be put into place. And yes, I understand it's not going to solve all of the flooding. It's going to mitigate some of it. I understand that. One final question. As far as leadership from a Park District standpoint, can you tell me how many of the Park District sites have permeable pavers for parking lots or sidewalks?
We don't have permeable pavers in the parks. We have not found that the benefits that they would offer outweigh, well, not just the cost, but I'll give you a perfect example. When we
the cost of somebody's basement flooding, what takes precedence over a permeable pavement parking lot?
Well, that may be your choice. It's not mine. But I'll give an example. Like, for example, when we redid the walking paths in Wilder Park, we considered permeable path pavers for those walking paths. And the determination that was made with working with our engineers that was that to take an 8-foot wide walking path and have it be permeable where the water is just going to go down into the stone basin into pipes that will slowly feed into the system as opposed to just draining off the top of the asphalt and into the grass wasn't going to be a benefit to kind of that macro system. Certainly there are opportunities and times when it can benefit, but we have not at this point identified any of those and implemented those. As to your question about working together and things like that, without question, the discussions and the negotiations that are taking place about these specifics are taking place with these representatives from the parks, similar representatives from the schools, and similar representatives from the city, all meeting together. Those are happening. The reason why we felt it was important for the Park District to have this particular meeting is because, as it started off, the Park District is a separate governmental entity created by the residents of this community back in 1920 for the express purpose of providing parks and open space and preserving open space. And I believe very strongly, as I know the Park Board does, and I think as most residents do, that adds to the quality of life in this community tremendously. The fact that it is a separate entity,
specifically dedicated for that purpose. And so what that means then is that the dedication that this community has shown over almost 100 years towards that effort, that when things like this come up, you've got advocates for your park and your open space that want to protect them. They also want to help if and where they can. But I've said all along, if we were like, for example, our neighboring community to the west, they don't have a park district. They have a park and recreation department of the city, like the fire department, police department, public works department. And we said to the city folks, this would be a lot easier if this was a park and recreation department, because kind of to your example earlier, they would have just, in one example, they could have just gone and done this. Right from day one, said, we're using the parks, we're going to do it. And we need to do it, and it's priority one, and we're just going to do it. And then those parks would, let's use all these, it would all be done, all the detention spaces would, be built, and forever in that community, the parks would be, my opinion, and I believe the park boards, rather greatly diminished. Quality of life in that community from the open space perspective then drops. So the park board has been working with the city to find ways that, again, to kind of close that gap. Can we help? Are there other solutions? Are there other opportunities that can be looked at to try to address them? So not disagreeing with you, just kind of throwing out the perspective from our agency. Are there any other questions?
Yes. I'll keep you here all night.
Just, did you read the question rule?
Yeah, I don't know. I can hold the mic, I can hold it away from her. Back to your comments now that we're done. The inflow is coming from Crescent. The outflow is directly across from, right now, is directly across from that. Why is it directly across, right next to the homeowner's residence, even if it's 6 or 8 feet off of the property line and the power lines? Why is it knocked down towards the other area and then fed around that area so that it has room to flow that way away from the homes? So when it fills up in a 100-year storm, which we've had 4 or 5 in the last 5 to 6 years, which is 1% every year for 100 years, and there's been several over 100, why is it going to the smallest part of that, your comments?
I'll start, but then I'll let Greg. I'll give the layman's answer. It's not the smallest part, it's the lowest part.
Yeah, that's correct. It's really a playability concern. When we asked FERC to take a second look at the grading of the bottom of that thing, we wanted to make sure that the drainage would occur off of the fields, the baseball field, the soccer field, to a lower part so that it could actually get away from those fields and drain it off. And so that, moving it to the east, got us a point where we could actually get a lower point in that area and drain the fields further.
Okay, your draining is at the lowest point in the smallest area near homes. Why would you do that? I mean, there are plenty of spaces in the back area that you could do that and drain it down to the back. There's no reason it needs to go to that area.
Yeah, I think it does have to go to that area. It's just a function of the site and the triangular shape of that site. If you order to fit in a soccer field and a baseball field. And now I'm honestly defending a design that's not my design.
I know you aren't, Greg. I get it.
So I'm putting out there what we've asked them to do is make recreation improvements to the design, because it originally was just kind of flat. We asked for the things that we needed as a park district in terms of the grading and the slopes and the drainage to make sure we were comfortable with playability after a rain.
So what Greg is talking about is if there was a mild rain, and let's not call it a 100-year rain, let's call it the 35-year rain, and it wasn't really much, but you know there was some rain up on Crescent and some water came into the park. Then, but just a little. There would be some water right here, and that would be it. Wouldn't get on the soccer field, wouldn't get on the ball diamond, and then it would drain out through this pipe.
Great. Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
And then that would be at the deepest point of the basin right there.
So you're talking about this pipe here, right? That's the one you're concerned
yes.
about?
Yep.
Okay. The overland one.
That's underground, right? It's not on top of the
building. Correct. You have the sewer where it's going to flow into is right there.
Yeah. Right, but it's underground.
Move your hand back, right? Where the water's going to flow in is right there.
Right, but that
and that's
that
about
underneath.
Right. It's about 8 feet below grade.
Right.
Okay.
So it's not up by the backyard. It's 8 to 10 feet down at the bottom of the basin.
Okay, so now we're going 8 to 10 feet in that area.
Whatever the depth, okay. I'm not quite sure. That's the bottom of the basin. It's at the deepest part of the basin.
So all of the water is going to congregate there. And then back up down. So when we hit that 100-year rain, the overflow that wasn't there day one is now there, the concrete path to the parking lot.
That doesn't control the overflow.
No?
No, the overflow is from over here, right? So yeah. The high lip of this thing is designed to be over here to make the overflow, well, actually the low lip, whatever you want.
Correct. The concrete is 14 feet wide.
Would be right here.
By 18 inches.
This thing could be anywhere and really not really affect you because it's down below the ground. What you're worried about is this thing, if there's too much water, it's going to overflow at some point. Where is that overflow point?
And I think if, as they move 25% to 100%, that pipe can shorten up. That pipe will shorten up. Because there's no reason to put that as additional expense into that 42-inch pipe if they can bring it over. And what we're going to look at from that perspective is, can the drainage get around the side of that soccer field, still slope off the soccer field and function correctly from a playability perspective? If that can happen, we want the same thing you want. We want to pull that pipe further west and maybe have the outlet right there near the baseball field.
That's not
good. But those, again, at 25%, that yet is not flush.
Okay, but the water still has to go through that pipe, and it's got to congregate to that area, and you have the water seepage and the pressure, the hydrostatic pressure from all that water going into all those properties and those homes, especially the ones where the pipe's going to be, where all the water's going to flow to. Yes?
I don't think you're going to have hydrostatic pressure because of the 42-inch pipe. That's there.
So,
and that is acting as a drain away into that area. Now, when you lift the water up, you'll have that water up in 24 hours. You're right.
Right.
Yes. Right after that, this thing will drain out.
And I get that it's supposed to drain out. Great. I get that. But it's still going to be seepage into the yards along that property line, especially in the cases where we have the bigger rainstorms. And if we go over, like you said, the overland flow route is into the parking lot downstream then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
But we're not going to elevate. This thing's going to be no higher than the normal ground level, right? And then the ground's going to probably be saturated anyway, so you're never going to have higher static head pressure because you don't have any higher elevation here than you had before. If this was higher, then if it was this high above your ground, then you'd have maybe 4 or 5 feet of static pressure pushing in your basement. But under those kind of rains, all this is going to be saturated. And this is going to be dug deep, which doesn't give you static head. That's down below your area to some degree. Yeah. I don't see a lot of static head being created.
It's going to be, Vince, it's going to be above that. It's going to be up to the part of the slope, up to the lowest point on the other side before it overflows.
The highest part of the basin is level with ground, right? We're not building a berm around this thing.
We're right, not. Right?
So it's still going to be
above. Plan the same. Right. But it's still going to be at a point where it's going to be pushing over into our yards.
You guys are a couple of feet higher than what this thing's going to be, so we have to.
Our basements are 6 to 8 feet down. Older home. I don't know specifically. It's still going to be pushing towards us.
I don't think that the engineers think that static pressure from the duration of time that the water will be in those basins will have detrimental effects on either the ground or the adjacent properties.
Correct. Yeah, good question, Bob. You got a problem.
Yep.
I just wanted to thank you and have people thanking you throughout this evening, but I know with the Park District, I've been so impressed with the amount of information that you provided with us, not just this evening, but the website and things like that. We really appreciate it. I think you guys have done a great job. You haven't had this on your plate that long from the city, and so I think you guys have done a great job in moving this on and really researching it to meet the needs of the people of the Park District and those who are affected by flooding. So thank you very much for all your work on this.
Say, how about we all agree the maximum will go 7 million to 10 o'clock and call it a 10?
Just really quick, you can see when they're digging the basements for any of the houses, how clay the soil is, and all her seepage, it's pretty impermeable, so that's why we don't have many permeable pavers in the parks, because it's clay underneath there, it wouldn't soak in very much anyway. And also with the seepage, it's not much of a concern.
So then why are we having builders
really, all these things in new houses? All the time.
Let's start. Just in general. Just a statement made by one of your fellow presidents.
I get it.
This is more of an idea for Golden Meadows. If whatever happens there, since the tracks are right there and the trains come around and hit that bend and they screech, if you could put nice trees along that, along the railroad there, that would be perfect.
I thought you were going to suggest we should oil the tracks up to keep
them. That doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work. Why? You tried? I don't want to
try it. No, it's a real car. You can. But if you could plant trees, that would be nice.
We do trees.
Yeah, that's right. Trees are good.
We do
trees. Are there any other questions? Okay, now I'd just like to close by just, first of all, thanking all of you very much and everyone who's also up there. Thank you very much for coming tonight, for being a part of the process, for asking questions you've asked and being so engaged. I didn't mention it, but you can Google Elmer's Park District, or our website address is epd.org. Please visit these plans. We have the information there if you want to ask us further questions or pick up the phone and call us. We also like to talk to people over the phone, not just electronically. Just a reminder that the board will continue to discuss this at its meetings on April 8th and 22nd. And
October.
Hopefully not April. But thank you very much for being here and have a nice evening.